Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. And welcome, 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 guys. Good afternoon to this particular, well, it's a Thursday. That's all a Thursday can be. That's all a Thursday can call itself. That's primarily all a Thursday has ever been. Just another day. Just another Thursday. But obviously, as we always do here on your number one talk radio station, and specifically on your favorite drive time show. Yes, I'm making a bold statement because, hey, man, that's what we do. We give you the necessary particular talking points that we always do specifically here on Eagle FM. And since this is the home run, there is a sort of like a slight change in today's particular program, guys. Just to let you know, it'll just be me and David primarily for today's particular engagement. Helmut is I don't want to say he's got himself stuck somewhere, but he is stuck with something. So he is, just excuse himself primarily for today's session. However, starting off, and if you've seen our poster for today, we're taking a look at a interesting talking point that actually continues from yesterday's discussion about, from a localized perspective, Namibia's particular sort of like, how far has Namibia come under or, trying to follow recommendations or work with any kind of recommendations that were set by the APRM. Now, yesterday's discussion actually focused on a civil society perspective, which obviously branched out into a multitude of things. We went the full length and breadth, specifically in that discussion, obviously also highlighting some of the core concerns, things that were not easily cited specifically like in the civil society discussion that I attended back in last week, but it actually brings forward interesting, unique, particular perspectives. Now, let me lay the ground for you specifically where we find ourselves in today's discussion. In today's discussion, you see a scenario where at the start of this year, that's now in the February Heads of State Summit at the AU, the heads of state actually, they made a declaration that they loved the latest APRM report that was submitted. Now, this report was submitted literally on the 19th of February. This particular report also took a continent-wide perspective. This report was also citing once again the age-old song that us Africans and, in a very micro level, us Namibians have also been citing in terms of the value addition, trying to create more jobs, trying to establish recommendations that are easy to adopt, easy to adapt, your country's economic, socioeconomic activities to. And thus try to see if these particular recommendations actually bear the fruit that you want it to bear. Now, before I actually continue, just for today, I always cite it, but it's always there. Not just for today. Apologies, not just for today. You guys can call through at 0832-888-401. The liberty is there. You can highlight some of your contributions, some of your opinions, some of your perspectives. And you can participate in the conversation. As I mentioned, it'll just be myself and David a little bit later during the course of today's program. And as you know, we're bringing you a slightly more expanded, I say slightly more because more expanded technically would mean probably like an extra 3 hours, but a slightly more expanded version of the home run obviously has kicked off since last week with the start of the new month of July. And obviously we are doing the home run from 4 to 7. So you're going to be in our company for a good in-depth discussion about some of the things that emanated from that February engagement. Now, yes, you'd be asking the question, what did the heads of state actually say at this particular event? if we could call it an event of, well, it is an event. Yes. It is a gathering. Yes. It is a high level event. Definitely. But it's one that, it's more administrative, not pomp and fanfare. It has a lot of administrative, background things happening. The interesting thing is that APRM report, that obviously the APRM guys were applauded for. Now, I actually want to share with you just, you know, a few lines specifically from the declarations, decisions and resolutions document itself, where they primarily speak about, you know, the Africa peer review mechanism. Now, yesterday's episode, civil society was at the heart of it. Civil society and the APRM. Today's one is just looking at the APRM itself. Now, this is where I introduce you to some interesting scenarios, for example. This particular declaration, oh no, it's a decision, sorry. This particular decision, cited, obviously during the course of the 14th of February, they cited a key particular talking point of the report, this particular report that they had submitted back then. Now, I want to draw to your attention, guys, that, firstly, the heads of state obviously applaud these guys for work, you know, a job well done, basically just writing your report. Now, what we then find out specifically is that they highlight to all member states, and this is under paragraph 9, encourages all AU member states that have not yet joined the APRM to accede to the mechanism. Now, I want to start there firstly because the discussion that we had yesterday, we failed to mention to you, our dear listeners, primarily the aim of the APRM. The APRM aims to support AU member states with, doing reporting or basically, let me rather say, doing research and then submitting reports on that research. And in those reports, obviously, recommendations are listed there. And some of these recommendations obviously take the form of things like what we as Namibians have not heard much about. Now, I'll cite you Namibia's particular sort of like case study. Namibia's case study, guys, came about in 2024 where President Mbumba received the Namibia Country Review Report. I read this report. I remember it back in last year because I read a few pages of the report because there was something else better than the report to talk about the subject that we were preparing for here at the Home Run. And then I stuck with the guide to the Namibian economy rather than sticking to this particular report, this country review report. At that particular time, the foreword was still done by President Ramaphosa from South Africa because his foreword is in that particular document. But what I did not know, which I only found out last week, was primarily that at the end of that report, Namibia also cited their National Program of Action. Now, you will ask me, what is a National Program of Action, Dwight? Well, guys, it seems there was about a 50-page segment of recommendations for the Namibian government about what to do. No, it's not recommendations for civil society. Let me emphasize that. It was 50 pages. Because according to Graham Hopwood, he basically cited it was 50 pages. Graham Hopwood from IPPR. I am adding in the 50 pages because I actually opened up the thing today just to look at it in preparation for today's show as well. And it is a pretty monumental section of the country review report. But the funniest thing about this particular section of the report is literally, it's not just that it is designed in landscape format versus the overall portrait format that a regular report is always designed and laid out in. It's not just because it's in landscape. That's not the only peculiarity about it. The main peculiarity, which is actually the main focus of this country review report, was that it was recommendations to government only. Government ministries, government offices, and government agencies. Let me say it again. Government ministries, government offices, and government agencies. Now, I mentioned this scenario because back in last week at the same particular event about civil society and APRM, the APRM in Namibia, or the APRM branch in Namibia, was that there was a former ambassador sitting there in the front row, who were part of like, sort of like the, you know, the, special guests. If you want to think about it like in a movie or like in a soap opera, you know, where, soap opera. But a soap opera that you would sometimes love following on your favorite, you know, whichever pay-per-view, service that you use. There would be always this like special guest starring, you know, in this specific episode, and then people run to watch the episode and, you know, conversation and viral, like, you know, and viral discourse takes place. So in the front of the civil society event of last week, the former ambassador, Kayamo is sitting in the front, and then we get to the questions and answer session of this engagement of civil society and APRM. He gets, because it's now opened up to the floor, to us, the audience, and the discussion is all about, you know, what do we, you know, any questions, any further contributions, so on and so forth. And he gets a chance to speak and he gets up. And then he says, it's because civil society, I'm just paraphrasing, but I'm also summarizing what he said, because he also took us to Korejas first with his first introduction of his statement. But then he highlighted that civil society has an issue with government and that they continuously blame government. Now I'm going to stop it there because I left afterwards, after, you know, halfway through his particular contribution. It makes me think back primarily that when you as an ordinary Namibian, whether you work for government, whether you work in local authority, whether you work in an agency of government, whether you guys have ever read the country review report of the APRM, came out in 2024. And at the same time, I want to ask the next question. You know, it's just a question for you guys to think about. You guys, the government workers, you guys, the public servants. Do you guys actually even know what NDP-6 is? Have you read NDP-6? Did you know what was written or contained within Harambe Prosperity Plan 2? Did you know what was in NDP-5? Did you know what was in Harambe Prosperity Plan 1? Did you guys read these national documents as functionaries of the public, of the state? As functionaries. Whether you are a police officer, whether you are an NDF recruit or cadet, newly appointed, did you guys read this document? Did you read these documents? These national policy documents whereby you guys have to play pivotal roles in public service delivery. I asked this question primarily because of the response, primarily because of the contribution that that former ambassador Kayamo gave at that civil society. It was actually organized by Civic Plus 264, which is a sort of like a civil society like library information center NGO. It acts as an information center, but they hosted this particular event. But obviously the main speakers came from NAMNET, which is an umbrella organization for all representing most civil society organizations. And then obviously Graham Hopf from the IPPR, who was on the panel discussion with the other two participants, who are the academic Dr. Marius Kudumo and the other NGO or the other civil society participant who I've also interviewed specifically when NDP6 came out, Mr. Ben Schoenig from Nafsan. He's from the Namibia
Association for Nutrition, but it's something based upon nutrition. Nafsan, that's its name. So I asked the question because it seems every time that there's a few, let me rather say participants in the public sector who get itchy feet if, you know, civil society starts talking about implementation from the side of government. Now, as the media, we don't have to do that particular scenario, but we observe, you know, the contributions, the discourse, the discussions, the complaints, the dissatisfaction of the greater public. We cite these things. We go record these things. And primarily, I mean, the public sector only has themselves to blame every time when something goes wrong in the public, in the broader landscape of the public. I'll cite to you the favorite discussion that Helmut and I love citing, specifically about water supply. You see, an entity, which is an agency like NamWater, has the mandate. They are tasked with the mandate, because they also have an act. They are tasked with the responsibility, basically, to dispense and supply every Namibian community where Namibians live with fresh, they call it potable or portable. I don't know, I doubt if it's the word portable, but to supply us with fresh water, basically, which is drinkable, which is safe for human consumption. Ne? That's NamWater's mandate. NamPower's mandate is to ensure that much of the grid and the infrastructure that basically makes up the grid is cared for, is well maintained, and that they do their best to connect every Namibian to the grid as well. Because between them and the everyday Namibian on the ground is also local authorities and the regional electricity distributors, as we all know. Those are the facts on the ground. But then you have the breakdowns. Then you have the occurrences of dissatisfaction. Then you have literally the disconnections that take place between the broader Namibian public and these agencies, these functionaries of the state, these local authorities, these SOEs, and even the ministries. Because I will ask you this question, dear listeners. Nah? We all obviously know that there are many rural communities in this country. We obviously know that these many rural communities have a lot of vulnerable people within them. Now, if you have to ask yourself what constitutes a vulnerable person according to Namibia and primarily according to the Ministry of Gender and, I almost said Ministry of Disability, but the directorate that it has that looks after marginalized people and disabled persons, you would obviously also see a scenario specifically where they try to get a grasp of how many Namibians are there that specifically might be disabled, form part of marginalized groups. And yes, I know, in the broader terminology, the broader understanding of the term marginalization, even a person who doesn't have a job, who doesn't have the ability to feed themselves, can be considered marginalized. I do know that. I am aware of that because it is a reality. There's no absolute format of discourse. But then, Namibia clearly sets out what should be identified as marginalized. And then Namibia clearly sets aside what is identified as previously disadvantaged. And Namibia clearly sets aside and identifies what is people living with disability. And Namibia clearly identifies, its affirmative action policy that also highlights in those various communities as well that I just cited. And then it's a discussion of, okay, how many of these people are there? The movie clearly defines these things in its myriad of policies that exist everywhere. And its myriad of policies, Namibia also defines specifically what needed interventions need to happen. But yet, when we had the malnutrition discussion, and remember, I'm citing to you the things, the reactions, as well as also the historical events in the past 5 years, and then how it factors into the APRM discussion for Namibia, you have to ask yourself, from a perspective of, look, of the everyday Namibian, is there technically anything that looks like it is, you know, it has brought significant change? Now, at the event that I mentioned a little bit earlier last week, the panel participants, all of them cited that if you have to look for like performance of the APRM recommendations in Namibia, or, you know, in line with, the national program of action, as it was called back then, the NPOA, what would be the scenario to look at? In a Namibian context, the one participant highlighted specifically, implementation is a major issue for Namibia. We know how to write the reports, how to write the how to identify the issues and the recommendations for it. Our biggest issue is thus implementation. One participant highlighted, you know, at least the good thing that you know is that obligations, responsibility, and a structure has been identified within, for example, Namibia's National Program of Action. And then the third participant cited a discussion of you know, both previous speakers cited something good. So that is basically the template that we've got to work with. Now, I show you, that's just the start of the panel discussion. That start versus the one contribution that a former ambassador highlighted in terms of civil society always picking on government is that unfortunately, guys, government is the only one that works for us all. Government is the only one that works for us all. Now, you would be asking me, Dwight, now, why would we have an NDP6 that also identifies interventions, that also identifies a previous position and a desired position? And now that the APRM, let's say the Country Review Report of Namibia, also identifies a previous position and a desired position, why would you have a duplication of work? Why wouldn't you just simplify it and thus try to stick to one particular measure? Well, let me explain this scenario also to you. Imagine for someone like Dwight, who's a radio journalist, who has to go and research now, what is a national program of action? I had to go research this thing just to discover that it's contained in a report that speaks about a previous state of affairs, and the government gives its side in the same report to say, this is what we can do. Now, it sounds very similar to the contribution that Minister Wise Emmanuel had to do at the other headquarters of the UN in Geneva earlier this year, back in May, I think. May or April. Where he went and represented Namibia's particular, you know, human rights record and human rights reporting that the minister had to do. Because Namibia does it like every 4 or 5 years, and every 4 or 5 years, Namibia gets evaluated on the recommendations that it was given in the previous report about its state of human rights affairs and what it needs to improve on. Literally, Namibia is given recommendations at every five-year interval. At every five-year interval, we then have to come back, and then we were asked, okay, so did you sort out that recommendation over there? Did you sort out that recommendation over there? And did you sort out that recommendation over there? The difference between the UN one and the APRM is that the APRM, Namibia has the opportunity to say, I don't want to participate. At the UN one, Namibia is technically obligated to participate. We are obligated to participate. Now, the report that obviously took place a little bit earlier, that was unveiled at the Heads of State Summit at the AU, was a report known as the Africa Governance Report 2025 about natural resource governance in Africa. And just 6 days, no, 5 days later, a draft communique was also released then by the same heads of state, by the AU Heads of State Forum for the Africa Peer Review, based primarily also trying to explain a particular position in terms of this communique was basically about talking about the 35th ordinary session of these heads of state and government peer review forum, and it was chaired by President Museveni from Uganda, where he made a pledge of $1 million to try and capacitate the APRM in terms of for it to be able to do its work. And another scenario, obviously, is also that this particular discussion, in many scenarios, it is so high level that you're trying to look for a discussion of, okay, so what were the actual talking points that took place? And what was said? And who said what? The scenario from this is that basically it continues to be a work in motion, because in this communique, it cites that the following participating member states of the APRM were represented by XYZ, XYZ, XYZ. So it's another, protocol observed. The summit was attended by another protocol observed. During the opening ceremony, so-and-so said something, another protocol observed. So when you, as an African, try to understand what heads of state are doing about this APRM discussion, how they are treating it, how they are approaching it, the only true, tangible, sort of like outcome that you can find, and this you would find even in paragraph 8, would be that Somalia is willing to ascend to the APRM level. Wow, yes, wonderful. But what does it actually mean, my guy? Does it actually mean that war stops in Sudan? Does it actually mean that the bad blood between Eritrea and Ethiopia is put aside, the bad blood between Ethiopia and Somalia is put aside, the bad blood between Somalia and Somaliland is put aside, trying to reconcile with the bad boys club of Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso. Mali technically doesn't exist because its army is defending the capital of Bamako because of the Islamic insurgents from two fronts that have taken swaths of territory under their control. Yes, guys. These are the realities. I mean, what kind of goals did we set by just stating, oh no, Somalia will join the APRM, later this year. They're gonna sign an MOU on ascending. Another particular thing is also that other AU member states that have not joined were encouraged to do so. Remember, it's a voluntary participatory scenario. I Other member states were requested to kindly submit their progress reports on the implementation of their national programs of action. Progress reports, guys. Other countries are asked. Let me show you how good Namibia is. We are technically like the best student in the class situation. Namibia, if you go onto the APRM website like right now, you will find a report known as titled The Technical Support Mission of the International Credit Ratings Republic of Namibia, 3 July. We submitted this report last week. That's how good Namibia is. That's how good a student Namibia is. Then, where's that one? On 24 December, Namibia submitted the first progress report on the implementation of the targeted review report on the youth unemployment in Namibia. So within the span of 7-8 months, Namibia has submitted 2 reports. No one else submitted 2 reports in the same time period. No one else. Not even South Africa. Ghana submitted theirs same day as Namibia. But this was Ghana's key highlights report, targeted review report of Ghana. Key highlights, that's part of the title. Zimbabwe on targeted review on economic governance and management. The key highlights report for them. So that's not even like a full national program of action report. They selected one thing out of their overall country and then just focused on that and submitted a key highlights report. Kenya. Lessons for Africa's financial sector from Moody's ratings commentaries and rating actions on Kenya. A Kenyan report. But it's not a national program of action report from Kenya. And then you've got a technical support mission on international credit ratings, Republic of Tanzania. Not a national program of action report as well. Not a country review report as well. So, in essence, we've been doing our part, like diligent little, you know, school kids that Namibians are, we submitted stuff. We literally submitted. And the credit ratings report, it's not like the Namibian government did it fully. It's most probably the local APRM branch here in the country. They would assess it. They submit it. It gets... The government has the opportunity to go through the report before it gets, you know, agreed upon and, you know, it was done. The other one was obviously more high profile because, the president of the cabinet would have the opportunity to look into this particular report, the one about the targeted review report on youth unemployment. It's a targeted review. So definitely. The president would say, yes, youth unemployment is a core concern for the country. Youth unemployment is referenced within NDP6. Youth unemployment for Namibia is a matter of national security, national stability, as well as also trying to achieve the goals and the futures that we've set ourselves up to try and achieve by 2030, i.e. Vision 2030, besides the baby making process. Besides that, just letting you know, I'm not part of those Namibians that have drastically contributed between 2011 and now. Just letting you know that. Just saying it. So, in a broad span, in a broad view of a situation, Namibia has been diligent in its own right. The other African countries, well, I personally don't know where we put them. I don't know where we cite them. I don't know how we try to look at a voluntary participatory function. And, you know, guys can just submit whatever they want to submit. And as we are joined by David, as I promised, guys, it's just going to be the two of us for today. David, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
No, you are right. You're on the right one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. So, let's the conversation go. And I would definitely join, particularly looking at the reporting.
Yeah.
And where we are standing as a country and what can we learn.
Yeah. So, David, so the particular point that we started off on was the AU heads of summit, the AU heads of state summit earlier this year. They obviously, they felt it was something. Yeah, it's an administrative, it's an administrative thing to cite a decision on the report of the APRM.
Yeah.
Now, the only report that you can find at that time frame between 19 February and 24 February are two reports.
Yeah.
One on natural resource governance.
Yeah.
And the other one is a communique about what are we going to do, which is also like all protocol that is observed discussion.
Yeah.
Which came out on 24 February.
Yeah.
So the only assumption that you can see basically is that they submitted a report on resource governance.
Yeah.
But it's been a discussion that we've had for, I mean, I don't want to say millennia, because most of us have only been independent for what, 70 years
mm-hmm.
on average.
Mm.
So it's been a burden across a bane that we've all been carrying as African countries.
Yeah.
So the concern would be, okay, we know we've got the resources. But how do we partner things up? There was a lovely thing you said outside before we stepped in. And you actually heard that today at an event. I want you to share it with the listeners, David, because it actually plays into this discussion.
Yeah, I went to consult. And because before you go to natural resource governance, maybe just to look at the other aspect, maybe EU was not really interested in it, but the other report of 2025 from APRM is the one which is tracing the...
Oh, the National Youth Unemployment one?
No, no, the one which is tracing the implementation of Agenda 2063. Yeah, but the one for natural resource governance is the one which is well compiled, and I think we deserve credit based on that. Before I come to what I said, I went to consult. You know, Dwight, when you are looking at... APRM continental level is one of the best functioning institution, maybe to say the arm of AU, which is well functioning.
Mm.
But one may also ask to say why APRM is well functioning. Maybe because it's run by academics. It's run by experts.
No, but there was a good thing you also cited last week. No, not last week, yesterday when you told me that, like in the Namibian context, it's ambassadors.
Yeah, there's a lot of former ambassadors and also academics.
Yeah.
Particularly looking at that aspect to say academics, if you give them space, if you don't politicize them, they give you data.
Mm.
And it's my good understanding that even the one which is stationed as National Planning Commission, if there are data which are not in line with what Namibia want, I don't think they are going to cook because that is academics. That is one thing that I wanted to contribute. The other aspect is when I went to Namibia Chambers of Chambers of Mines.
Yeah.
Namibia Chambers of Mines, Namibia. The CEO spoke more on focusing on exploration, particularly looking at the incoming expo that is going to happen at the beginning of August.
Mm.
Then I was a bit concerned to say, why focusing more on
expanding exploration?
Then I went to consult, and the expert are saying, no, the guy is good because he's within his line.
Mm.
He's speaking on the side of mines and does not want to, you know, to step on other people's lanes to say how should the mine function. And that is what they are. And if his line of work has to speak more about making money and creating employment, is employment within the sector, not in charge of processor. And I got it a bit late, but I realized to say, yes, it's good, but it's also necessary to have coordination. If you are very good at expanding that within your area, the next person, if he's not well informed, then it ends there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but coming back to reporting, you know, I have problem, and it's not a very big problem with EU. And I want Namibians to look at these things to say, do we advise EU too? Or is only the EU which is advising us? And other developmental partners. It's not wrong, but when you look at it, is that these guys have money. They have developmental plan and they have proven that they can develop.
Mm.
But do we come to the point of saying, this one we don't want, or this one we can come in this way?
Mm.
Do we have technical expert at a higher level that can debate with an engineer from outside to say, no, this is our country, and this I know better, we can work here?
Yeah.
Because why am I asking this question? APRM can be praised in submitting all the reports and all these things.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, even if more money is coming to Africa, the developmental aspect has to be on our shoulders.
Yeah.
That's why, to me, if we only accept, and I want to, maybe it's happening behind closed doors, but do we criticize our good friend? Because we can fight with South Africa, we can fight with China, not really to say fighting because we are enemies, but just to disagree on matters.
Mm. And choose our own particular...
Yeah, to say, yes, it's good, we like the way you are doing, but at least, guys, bring your professors here so they can teach us, so we can do these things. Or, why is it taking you over 30 years to add value to our products, or to build industries? But looking at the reporting, APRM, I think if somebody is interested in developmental agenda, you can't do anything without APRM.
Mm.
And they will continue to remind us that we are not on track. That's what I like about them.
Mm.
Because if I want to go and get to say, what is the picture of Namibia? What is the picture of Southern Africa? They will be able to, they will remind you that, yes, this is what you said, but you are not on track.
Yeah.
It's what you still need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The surprising thing, David, man, that comes up, remember when I gave you the audios for the civil society APRM thing of last week? It was the first time, now I already mentioned this a little bit earlier to the listeners, but it was the first time I heard of a national program of action. Because I was like, a national program of action? What is this? Is this now a parallel mechanism, a parallel sort of like recommendation, list of recommendations next to, because 2024 was still Harambe Prosperity Plan.
Yeah.
Functioning.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
And it was, and NDP5 had ended in 2023. So we were literally waiting for HPP2 to run its course. And it was technically supposed to end most at the end of 2024.
Yeah.
Which it technically did, because President Bumbamos handed over the baton to President Nandiyen Daitwa the next year in 2025.
Yeah.
So when I heard this thing last week with Hopwood and Kudumo and the other guy, Ben Schoenig, all of them saying, at the back of the peer review, country peer review of Namibia of 2024, that report, you find this national program of action.
Mm-hmm.
50 pages, David, of recommendations. 50 pages of recommendations. And I said, what? How did I miss this thing?
Mm-hmm.
How did I miss this document?
Mm.
Now, what Hopwood cited is that civil society doesn't know much about the peer review report, the 2024 one.
Mm.
But you can then also ask the question, since civil society is more connected to the everyday Namibian, you can also ask the question, does the everyday Namibian even know?
Does the everyday Namibian follow?
Do they follow?
Do we have interest? And there was something which was raised to say, how do you make important conversation attractive? It's the same question that you can ask to say, how do you make young people attracted to parliamentary debate? How do you make people to understand that civil society is also their way of advancing development? How do you make it attractive to come to political rallies? Because political rally is not about dancing. This world
is about just giving food.
But the main aim is to come and sit down and let's discuss with these leaders.
Yeah.
To say, where are we meeting each other?
And it's not a one-way talking thing.
Yeah, it's not a one-way talking.
Like they do now. They just talk in one direction and the people just have to catch.
Compare it with a developed world.
Yeah.
You come back with your report there. And we start from there. Because just to divert a little bit, when I listened to, I was reviewing the start of Ad Hoc Committee of South Africa, then Lenganyane, when he was elected to be the chair, he said, we must do our best, but we are starting at a very disappointed note, because the review that was done is that people of South Africa, they lost interest in parliament. It's only 26% of them that have hope and interest in parliament. Now, it's the same question that we need to bring about to say, Every time you bring about very important conversation, very yeah. important report,
yeah.
I listen to you, an important report that can guide us already. But instead, we are busy going to draft another one. Do you know that people are busy currently drafting NDP 7? Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
If you did not read about it, we're already trying to make sure that the post 2030.
But number 6 is supposed to be the last one.
That is what I'm telling you to say. We have a lot of recommendation. We're not even supposed to make bigger policies.
Yeah.
And when you start reading document, you start realizing most of these things, there is a repetition. You already recommendation that you are recommended for 5 years to say if you want to just move this way.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and look where we are standing in 2010, economists, they predict precisely where we are going to be.
Mm.
To say, number one, your population is going to grow. By 2030, your population will triple.
Mm.
If you don't sort out your policies on youth, you will have the youngest population.
Mm.
Your dam on
you will have a youth pulse.
you have a generational conflict.
Yeah.
And you will have what is the other thing? The other thing is on diamond.
Mm.
To say diamond currently is selling, currently is the king of the market. Make sure that you add value so fast so that you can build bigger industry. Because if you get overtaken by this man-made diamond, mm. you're going to be knocked down. It was a perspective of a 10-year perspective. Just go back. It's not me. Mm. Economists predicted. You go and look at analysts, what they've been saying.
Mm.
Where are we now?
We're literally struggling against lab-made diamonds.
Yeah.
We are trying to. Now it's the Belgians buying the diamonds for us.
Mm.
Because now apparently they're the biggest customer.
Yeah.
We do have a youth bulge.
Yeah.
Which is the 72%
mm.
from 35 below.
Mm.
And we will have the generational conflict.
Generational conflict is already starting. Look at Parliament. What is the proportion, age balance of Parliament? And what is the conversation in Parliament?
Yeah.
Let's just look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like a teacher telling you to say, Dwight, if you don't read chapter 3 to 7, you are going to fail.
Mm.
Then you are reading chapter 1 to 2,
mm.
and we go to 8, 9, and 10.
Mm.
But the teacher is telling you to say, okay,
the test is going to be from 3 to 7.
From 3 to 7.
Yeah.
But I say no. 1, 2, 8, and 10, and you expect to pass because what we are in now. But I'm also very happy because it's a moment of pain that we are going to learn from. Because we fail to learn through wisdom. We are learning from pain. That's why wherever you go, you find people speaking about coordination.
Yeah.
Value addition is loud. Maybe it's going to start now. And my question was technically answered. I did not watch correctly. Because I was very angry to say, if Namibian delegation just leave China without visiting the uranium industry, I'm not going to be happy with them.
No, they no.
But I checked now.
Yeah, no, she was at a nuclear power reactor.
Yeah. And I went to check.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's all good. She goes and visits a nuclear power reactor, David. But here's the thing.
Mm.
I mean, some of the things that they cite in this natural resources report, mm-hmm. which is something that what's his name, Kudumo cited at the civil society engagement last week, was there's a chapter here, chapter 6, on citizen voices.
Mm.
Now, I made a statement earlier in the show by saying, listen, if the national program of action in the 2024 country review report of Namibia, if that whole document and its setup is meant for Namibia's ministries, agencies, and offices to try and correct policies that they've developed. Because the document, and it literally says it there in the introduction of the document, this document is for Namibia's government. Straightforward. Corrective action has to take place at the government level. Not for Dwight and David on the ground and for the private sector.
Yeah.
It's for the government to know what to intervene on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you get to a discussion now where Kudumo literally said, APRM tries to make sure that this is a citizen-led perspective, meaning the needs of us, our needs on the ground, has to reflect in terms of the solutions that the countries have to come up with, which are the policies.
Yeah.
Which is NDP 6. It sounds wonderful. But then you go look for, okay, so how are we going to bridge the gaps? What are the steps that we're going to take to get there?
You know, I think it's one thing that we also need to look at is that when you look at the documents are quite a lot. Yeah. The recommendations are a lot. Yeah. The plans are a lot. The action plans are there.
I mean, that action plan program is it starts at page 273, David, in that report.
The actions are a lot. And one thing
263.
One thing that maybe is it we do not read? Are we bombarded by information? Are we not changing? Because I will not be happy with a 300-page document that is speaking about something that should have been summarized for let me say, 40 pages.
Yeah.
Because people now have short attentions to details.
Mm.
But to look at the thing is also that how many of relevant information, particularly declassified, coming to the citizens.
Mm.
And when we speak about civil society, do you really want to tell me that the grassroots people, they understand their role based either from a continental perspective? Because one thing that you see is that when you attend your United Nations event, you realize to say there's a lot of programs that are speaking about rural community, social protection, and all these things.
Yeah.
But when you look at Namibia, you start to see only few of them that have access to this information.
Mm-hmm.
There's fundings out there that are not coming with strings attached from the fellow Africans.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is that are our ministries, are our organization and institution really bring this information to the people? And really, maybe just to look into that, one thing I was talking to my friend, I started realizing to say, some of us, we schooled at the village school, went to a combined school. No, I'm just giving an example. Né? Then I realized to say, man, when I came to the city, I realized to say, a lot of high schools in the city, they have access to a lot of opportunities.
Yep.
I did not even know that even the grade 8s can get scholarships at that level.
Yep.
I did not even know that.
And I saw it between 90 kilometers.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Between Rehoboth and Windhoek.
Yeah.
I moved here.
Yeah.
So yeah, you are right.
I did not even realize that young people from grade 8 to grade 10, they can participate in events that can go beyond the countries.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that when you speak about, and I don't want to sound like a victim, when you speak about, for example, rugby and other opportunity talent that you could develop, it's still a myth. We do not know the rules of engaging into that. It's still football at that level.
Mm.
But the question is that even though people are far from services, are those information reaching there?
Yeah.
Just to say you are in grade 8 at Chikunde Primary School, Chikunde Junior High School, deep down in Hangwena, but you are performing very well. Mm. There is this Aaron Gray scholarship, for example. But when you come to the city, when you come to towns, then you start realizing that sometimes it's not about where you are. It's about the information reaching there. Are the teachers up to date with information? The same thing with all the reports. When you speak that, you speak like a professor. At the technical level, few people can understand you, but few of them can come and put that thing in action. Maybe somebody who bump into a page and say, no, I think I was listening to Eagle FM, and Dwight was speaking about this report on natural resource governance, and I should have listened more.
Mm.
Because sometimes I realize that we are just with gold, but reading is not our problem. The problem is maybe we are looking at other interests.
It could be.
Yeah.
Or it could also be if we now zone it in, let's say we take it to other localities, other local authorities.
Yeah.
What are the immediate needs there? David, you are right in terms of saying, you know, when it comes to like exposure to opportunities, which is obviously what the World Bank in that inequality report of Namibia and South Africa said.
Yeah.
It's about exposure to opportunities.
Yeah.
Now the exposure to opportunities is also about, for example, let's take the most prominent sort of like story that happened, the one that is affiliated to the sons of the president, the solar power facility
yeah.
on the family farm
yeah.
Outside Sumeb.
Yeah.
Let's take something like that.
Yeah.
Now, I think the one son is younger than me,
yeah.
and, if how I understand it, or he's probably slightly older than me.
Yeah.
But the response that he gave that the print media company, in terms of when they asked him, listen, so how did you guys, how did you get this contract? Now, obviously, you can see three facts.
Yeah.
There's a farm
yeah.
right outside Sumeb,
yeah.
and Sumeb needed something,
yeah.
or this company yeah. needed a solution.
Yeah.
They approached, they said, hey, listen, we've got the land, you have the need, let's do this.
Yeah.
And it happened. Now go ask yourself, David, let's say, who can I use as an example? Let's use Francina. I know, but...
okay.
Sorry, Francina, sorry. But let's say Francina, yeah, because, yeah. because currently yeah. Namibia's inclusivity policy is about women.
Yeah.
And disadvantaged people, and then obviously trying to put the opportunities close to them.
Yeah.
So let's say Francina's family has a farm right outside Opuo.
Yeah.
Ne?
Yeah.
But the mining company, the same cement making company, is not in Opuo.
Yeah.
It's in Sumeb.
Yeah.
So you might have the opportunity. You might have the same resource. Yeah. It's just, you can't access the same contract.
You don't have exposure.
You don't have the exposure.
And the other thing that people must also look at, that was a very interesting conversation. There is currently a debate in Ghana related to the brother of president who is
the gold mine.
He's a billionaire.
Yeah, I read it.
but the one thing that you need to look at is that in some occasion to say, this guy has been in business for a very long time.
Yeah.
He has been a billionaire before presidency.
Is it
Mahama, Ibrahim Mahama.
Oh.
Yeah.
So before, the
John,
current.
The current is John.
It's John.
Yeah.
His brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before that, those guys have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
It could be that he's even the one maybe who funded the campaign.
Probably.
But now the things are coming out because the person is the president and all these things. But one thing that we need to look at is that exposure is very important. To say, it's most like the son of a CEO is most likely to succeed, not based on connection, but based on exposure.
Of course.
Because the dinner table, you have managing directors, they are the friends.
Mm.
When people are going to conversations at schools, when they're at the courtyard watching their kids playing tennis, they are connecting them.
Mm.
And it's actually not wrong.
There's nothing wrong.
It's actually not wrong because this person, the conversation that he's entering into is within the environment.
Yeah.
But had you got an opportunity that is the same, you will still be able to succeed based on that.
Yeah.
That's why the question of exposure to say, yes, we have a lot of inequality. Some people have access to right information.
Mm.
Some they even die without seeing those information. But what is necessary is that if information is distributed equally, if people made understood that opportunities are also distributed equally, that is one of the things that I would definitely indicate to say, once critical information come to the public, let those who are in charge of distributing them distribute them correctly.
Yeah.
And speak about the intention of those information. Because some people, they are just doing their job to say, we distributed, people attend the event, let's tick. People do not even know the reason of attendance register.
Mm.
People are going to report back to where things are coming from.
Mm.
So Namibian, 100 of them attended the event, 8. I think with development in Namibia is doing very well.
Mm.
But did the people really get the message? People some took their documents. If you go to Kapana single quota, you find them what meat put on that developmental plan.
I need to tell you a story, yeah, David. Yeah. In line with that story you're telling me.
Yeah.
So earlier this year, the civil society guys had another engagement, but this time at the Hilton Hotel. So I asked a question. You know, in the questions and answers session, I asked a question. Just to come out, and then four people are asking me, yeah, Dwight, we need to collaborate. I'm like, I'm here because I'm trying to find extra information to extra understanding for listeners, obviously an audience that we have here at Eagle FM. And, you know, to write knowledge about it afterwards in our e-paper. Now people want me to become like a project consultant for them in certain scenarios. Now you stand there asking
to corroborate, and I think maybe, you know, we are getting there. I've been telling we are getting there, but very slowly.
Yeah,
we are getting there, but very, very slowly.
Yeah,
we are seeing the direction, but we are getting there very slowly because we are still not talking to each other.
Yeah,
we may be speaking, but we are not talking to each other because some of the things are making the progress of Namibia very long.
Mm.
To say, yesterday you spoke a very important point. It's only that I did not follow it. To say you have NDP 6. And then you have the plan for NPC have a strategic plan.
Yeah.
But to look at NPC, the strategic plan was supposed to be very short because it's a reflection of the national plan. It was supposed to be even almost a copy of it because you are an overall institution that is planning. A national plan was supposed to be a product of where you are going.
Yeah.
But we find them that they have two different, they have similarities, but you also realize that we are taking long roads to things that we should have taken, shortcuts. The same with APRM.
Yeah.
When you look at universities, ask yourself a question to say, how many students of social science, just at the undergraduate level,
yeah,
how many students of social science understand the role of APRM? Just at the university level, how many are engaging with APRM? Maybe it started now. Those years when you're at university, I know I was not ignorant with information, but what I can tell you is that those institutions were very far.
They are.
They were very far. Maybe now they are maybe now they are coming closer. It's the same with Namibia Research Commission, which is a very brilliant institution, to say, how closer are they to the students? Because if you don't do that, we are going to move a very long road. How can you travel 200 kilometers to something that you should have only traveled 5 kilometers to get where you want to get into? That's why information might be there, but if information are disorganized, my brother, we are going a very long way.
We will be lost for like forever.
Mm. And we are going to have a duplicate of meetings and conferences.
And it'll continue.
Yeah, and it's going to continue because all the conferences we just hear, we must do this, we must do this. The question is that when are we starting to do it? Who is going to do it?
Yeah.
And what are we doing?
Yeah.
But, APRM, I think if you have now, a national secretariat, right, in Namibia, maybe we should also have, within the initiative of Namibia, maybe it should also have structures within the regions, or maybe just to have not only to visit, but also to say, are you head, not to duplicate the job of government, are you head? Do you understand where the continent is going?
Mm.
Do you understand where your problems are?
Mm.
And that can say a lot about also civic education.
David, there's actually a good thing that you highlighted there. Mm. So, I specifically, I have a big, if I can call it like sort of like a pet peeve, but I have a big pet peeve with how the local councillors that we vote for every time.
Mm.
Now, I love picking on these guys. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Local authorities, regional authority, politicians, I love picking on them. I'm even going to be honest.
Yeah.
I love bullying them.
Yeah.
Specifically on our discussion here at on the home run. The reason why I love picking them on them is specifically, David, we have towns there that look the same for 60, 70 years. Do you know how heartbreaking that is, David? That your town looked the same there. Your mother grew stayed there. Your father stayed there. Your grandparents stayed there. They grew up there.
Mm-mm-mm.
The town, you know, the town doesn't progress forward. No new industries get introduced. No new jobs get created. Yeah, maybe a ShopRite opens there.
Maybe a Vurman Brock opens there.
I don't want to cut you, ne?
But you can cut me.
No. I want just based on what you are saying before I forget, ne?
Yeah.
I want to appreciate my colleague, Anacreta.
Yeah.
Not just because he's my colleague. There is an update here. And that is what I call tracking progress.
Mm.
Where he stated that a year after Kavango's governor, Hamunyera Habyuka, announced during his State of Regional Address that the Mashare Agricultural Developmental Institute would admit its first intake of students in 2026.
And it's separate from the big three universities.
Wait. The institute remained under renovation and is now expected to become operational in 2027.
Yeah.
To me, that is a question of accountability.
Yeah.
To say, why did you say what you said? Because people bring, and it is make people angry. You bring numbers to people.
Mm.
Then you don't come back and say this is what happened.
Or you don't say we improved on this.
We improve on this.
Yeah.
Because people expected you to come back with the results.
Yeah.
To say, okay, if you say something is going to be operationalized, you spoke about this last year. It's going to be to like next year we're going to be like this. But you say, no. We are still on course. It's 2027. The question is that, was your speech political? Was it data driven, or you were just speaking because you are given a platform?
Or it was just ceremonial.
It was just ceremonial. Yeah. And one thing also, not really to say directly to the governor, just to say the lifetime within the political space is too short. And I don't know who is saboting. The question is still, who is sabotaging that development?
Mm.
But you can still continue with what you were indicating.
What the bullying of the local authorities.
Yeah, the standing towns that are still the same. Because this one is still the same.
But it's a good thing that you cited there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In Anacleta's hometown of Rundune, and I love citing that other example.
Mm.
The Catholic Church built a school there.
Mm.
Nah. The school had been like in operation for like a good 30 or 40 or 50 years.
Mm.
Now, Catholic schools have all the same like architecture and design. Large erf, big, you know, school buildings, double story and all that. Usually in impeccable condition.
Yeah.
But when the Catholic Church handed it over, the local authority, the regional and local authority were using it for offices for the extension offices of the ministries and for other divisions. So the thing didn't even go to its intended purpose.
Yeah.
Here's another thing also, David. Rundune is a very important town.
Yeah.
If you look at it in an economic role,
yeah,
Rundu is very important.
No, it's strategic too.
Rundu literally connects the whole flow of traffic to Katima.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if Abigail and Franz, but unfortunately your capital town of Zambezi, there's nothing to write about it. There's nothing.
Okay.
But everyone will tell you about Rundu.
Yeah.
Rundu's, and if Rundu can compete on the same level as Swakopmund. Swakopmund doesn't have elephants and crocodiles and wildlife just immediately outside.
Yeah.
But Rundu does.
Yeah.
Rundu has a couple of the green schemes in close proximity.
No, they I hear you.
They've got a couple of them.
And just say the region itself is well positioned because it's not 70% of the green scheme there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so the region itself, just Kavango East, ne?
Yeah.
Kavango East can beat the economic activity of Erongo. The downside is now literally, ne?
Mm.
Do people see the same potential that you and I now are citing here on the show? Do they see, why not, let's say there's a professor who probably lost a job in terms of becoming an academic at one of the universities, decides, you know what, let me go access funding to build the Rundu University, International University right outside. That's my name. If you guys use that name, I'm going to send you an invoice, né? And a big fat one for that matter.
Yeah.
Let's use, for example, they open up a university just outside the Rundu.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, that's why I told you to say we are getting there, but very slowly.
Mm.
And looking at our developmental partners, they must also be honest with us. Because if you are my friend, I'm always telling people to say, if you are my friend for 30 years, ne?
Yeah.
And I'm not improving my life.
What kind of friend are you?
What kind of friend are you? And you are always having these ideas, these good ideas, and they're planning for me. We are planning.
And every time you come to me, do it. Hey, listen, man,
I'll give you chicks. I'll give you opportunity and all these things. No, it's true.
Yeah.
But everything is just a failure. No. You have to sustain this. No, something is not correct.
Yeah.
Something is not correct. That's why it's either I'm not listening to you or I'm scared of, indicating to you that things that sometimes you are telling me are not correct. Because since 1990, and I don't have a problem with our developmental partners.
Mm.
You have been always around. They're planning with us. They give us money. We do almost everything
with them.
With them. They advise us. They give us technical experts and consultants. Whether it's a success, I will not say no.
Yeah.
But were there any points in time that we say, no, we are not going to do that? Or everything that is coming from UK, that's coming from Paris, that's coming from Berlin, is just correct. Not really to say we want to do it our own, but just to say, no, this is where the money should go. This is where the infrastructure should go. I understand your advice of medicine and all these things, but this is, can we not integrate? Because this is, you make me too depend on you. Instead of building Robito Corridor just to connect my things to go out, build something here before we connect here. Because we also have ourselves to blame.
And,
to say,
and the first and the other thing you have to ask now is, why does the Robito Corridor cost 600 million?
No, transportation. Move fast as possible.
I know. I know. You and I know. We know. But when you look at the currency indicator, David, one of the discouraging things that I've realized, like in the developmental economies around the world, is that the projects are denoted in US dollar.
Yeah.
They're denoted in pound. Mm. They're denoted in euro. Mm. Why couldn't they be denoted in, let's say, Angolan kwanza?
It will give you stress. The numbers will, give you stress.
These are the numbers will jump off the check.
No, jump off the check. No, number will give you stress. And really, looking at even coming back to the.
I'm sorry to the Angolans listening to us. That's a very bad joke.
coming back to the topic of appreciation.
Yeah.
We must also criticize each other productively. You know, one thing that APRM did, what I like about it, there is a guy called Dr. Mkalamba. He's a director within special rating system within APRM.
Mm.
You know what that division is doing?
Yeah.
No, they conducted a study last year. There was a report again on global rating agencies.
Mm. Oh, this one of.
I think you also spoke about it.
Yeah, but Namibia has one. Namibia's like rating. Why did I get out of there? Namibia has one, but the Kenya has one as well. But it sort of like correlates the relationship between the countries and the ratings.
Yeah. I think it's I'm speaking about this in terms of APRM to say they have. That division that is dealing with a rating agency, they found out that because for you to get a loan at IMF, for you to get a loan at New Development Bank in BRICS, there is an agency that will say you are in good standing.
Is it this one?
Let me see.
This one in the middle.
That one is the last year,
that one.
But they conducted that, if you look at the recommendation of that that report, that is also the report that did not give birth but accelerate the creation of Africa rating agency.
Yeah.
Because they realized to say international rating agency that government have been using, these guys, they are not using right data. Most of them are not based in the country. Most of them, they don't use technical experts from within the country.
Mm.
You can't just come from... Fitch rating agency in New York, then you come here for 2 weeks, then you provide the report. If our kudumos of this world, our academics are bringing you data, you don't want them.
Mm.
Then they say, then it has been a conversation. But the bank that I like so much is Africa Import and Export Bank.
Mm.
They say, Fitch rating agency, you go home, we don't want to work with you anymore.
Mm.
We don't want to work with you because you are not honest with us.
Mm.
you know what happened?
What?
Other, there are always three. There's Global Rating and the other one, the Fitch, and the other one.
Is it S&P or Moody's?
Yeah, I think Moody's, yes.
Yeah.
The other one, you know what they did the next month?
Mm.
I don't know if it was because of fear. The rating completely different from what Fitch did. They rate import and export bank
mm.
so well. So in good standing, I think it's the best rated bank mm. in Africa. Then the question is that for how long
has this
misinformation has been going on?
Yeah.
Especially looking at that. And if you have countries that can also stand up to say, yes, we like what you are doing, but we are also criticizing you here. Now, import and export bank teach them a lesson to say you either prove to us that you are doing it correctly
mm.
or we are not going to work with you.
Or you're using proper data.
You're using proper data.
Yeah.
But that is it's a fair report that, I'm happy that you have it. It's a fair report that is, APRM is doing. And to me, I really think when you bring about conversation of APRM, that is, one of at least credible
mm.
institution that we still have to say we may be lost, we may be disorganized Africa, but we are still having a vehicle that,
did you
guide us, yeah.
Because, David, mm. One of the biggest concerns now that impacts us, mm. if you look at it as Africa, one of the biggest concerns that impacts us, mm. the guy from Import-Export Bank, when he went to, but it was somewhere, or did he come here to Namibia? But he went somewhere, and then he said he doesn't like, because the Import-Export Bank was based in Cairo,
mm-hmm.
in Egypt.
Mm.
He said he had to fly 16 hours mm. from Cairo through mm. Johannesburg mm. to get to Namibia. I just don't remember where in last year was the event
mm.
here in the continent, here mm. in Namibia.
Mm.
And then he highlighted, it's not a good thing for an African in the continent
mm.
to fly 16 hours to get to the other destination. Then you get to the discussion that I attended, me and the one guy from the Namibian Sun, Ohone.
Yeah.
Where we went with, because PDM and Vanani announced back in 2024, they're going to go and inspect, have an ad hoc meeting with Namibia Airports Company and the people
yeah.
of Airports Company. Yeah. We get there, we're the only two journalists, yeah. just the two of us.
Yeah.
We get there, we sit through the presentation that the NAC people are giving, and then, Uirap, the CEO, highlights to, Vanani and his delegation, should I say?
Mm-hmm.
Cause it was a delegation of yeah. MPs.
Yeah.
He cites them, listen.
Well, what committee was that?
It wasn't a committee.
It was a political.
It was just PDM and their
okay.
people.
Okay.
Yeah. Because okay. remember at that stage it was the contract for the baggage, the luggage tender.
No, I know the fight of Paragon.
Yeah. it was because of that. So then PDM decided, let's go and see, you know, what are these operations? What is the actual thing?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the NAC people gave them a whole presentation of, you know, operations, economic value that airports have and so on and so forth. And then Uirap explained to Vanani about, the air connectivity issue of Africa.
Yeah.
Which is most at the heart of our economic transformation as a continent.
Mm-hmm.
Where he cited, it takes someone almost 20 hours, almost 24 hours, a full day,
mm-hmm.
to fly from Namibia
mm-hmm.
to Sao Tome and Principe, here just off the coast of Nigeria,
yeah.
that other country.
Yeah.
Now, David, in a straight line, it's 5 hours. Flying from Windhoek
yeah.
to Sao Tome and Principe,
it's
a 5-hour flight.
Yeah.
Can be done within a day.
Yeah.
But there is no airline that wants to fly.
Mm.
Within that 5-hour period, because you have to now present the feasibility, the economic feasibility scenario. Another dimension is also the rest of the continent. Now, there is one airline, obviously, Ethiopian Airways,
yeah.
that wants to act like this, you know, the glue
mm.
connecting all skies to each other.
No, they're doing their best.
yeah, yeah, based upon, you know, financial resources.
Yeah.
But the concern is other countries need to see the same thing. Because how it sometimes works in like in a market that has private competitors in it.
Yeah.
If you are Coca-Cola and I am Pepsi,
yeah.
you know that there are customers that don't drink just Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And I know there are clients that don't just drink Pepsi. So we need a third guy and a fourth guy to provide variety.
Now, the concern is, that's not what is happening on the continent.
No, you're bringing a very important conversation because, you know, this thing of integration is very complicated.
It
because
is.
If you are speaking about integration, at some point you speak about working together.
Yeah.
At some point you also speak about the choices of
and the opportunities that come with the choices.
Yeah, choices of the free market. I think, you know, apart from being a dominant guy, I think Ethiopia has a lot to teach Africans on how to manage airlines. I was very happy. I don't know if it was a political, but if it was really what it is when the ministry said Ethiopian airline will assist us in reviving Namibia.
That was last year. It was Namibia the minister. Airline.
Yeah, I think that that is a very good thing to say.
Yeah.
Learn from the best. Because for us to spend billions of dollars...
Now restarting a new airline.
No, billions of dollars bailing out in Namibia for a very long time, where we also have external experts who are advising us. We don't know if they were advising us to keep on failing so that they can still get our consultancy money, or they were really just failing. But if you have something like from Ethiopia, we can learn, but we can still maintain our own. But the issue of connectivity, you know, Africa is complicated. We want to collaborate, we want to compete at the same time. You really do not know.
No, but we have to compete and collaborate.
We have to compete and collaborate.
Yeah, because if you go to Europe now, David, how is it possible that in Europe you can get a 10 euro flight from Dublin to Berlin, from Dublin to Rome?
Yeah.
A 10 euro flight for 2 hours. Now, I just explained to you the Sao Tome and Principe. Ne?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 5 hours in a straight line. But how do we justify the cost specifically of trying to get to, let's say, 10 euros is... 200 Namibian dollars. So let's make it a 500 Namibian dollar flight from Windhoek to Sao Tome and Principe. Or a 700 Namibian dollar flight from Windhoek to Lagos.
Yeah, no, no, I think it's a fair argument that you bring. And one thing that we also need to look at is that one thing that we don't realize why we are paying a lot of money in those things that we don't own.
Yeah.
Is because somebody from outside still need to be paid. You know that one thing that I started to realize, we were together most at ECB.
Yeah.
I think we are going back the announcement of this year. I just want to say, you know, one thing that we must also look at is that when somebody is charging you $100 between Okahanja and Windhoek.
Yeah.
Know that that money is also going to pay somebody in China who made the engine of that car.
Yeah.
Because the manufacturing and everything is included. I started realizing that when people started fragmenting the cost of things, sometimes it's not about us want to charge people a lot. It's also about our capacity of building those industries.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the same thing that we are complaining about the price of phones. Why is it so cheaper to buy a phone in the country where they are manufacturing than where we are here?
Yeah,
because remember,
David, we have a phone, we have a caller coming through. Let's quickly get him in. Just hold that thought. Okay. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing, Angabona?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
Yep, Angabona. Why do you sound off, Angabona?
Ah, my brother, it's stressful.
What stress?
Oh, things in life.
Okay. That's all of us, Angabona. Angabona, how are you?
Economic issues, social issues, and I see David, we have been meeting for some time.
Angabona, how are you doing?
David. No, is David still there?
He's here, Angabona. He's listening to you.
Yeah.
Oh, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
So you have just disappeared without giving the notice.
No, I'm back. I just want to tell you to say life is very painful. Being a man, you don't need to say things are not okay. That is the war that we must fight.
Don't worry, collectively, we can combine our energy, put our effort together, and they never be discouraged anyway.
It did.
So I was reading a book on about David. David, how during his reign, and how he also passed on the torch, and somebody whose characteristics can be emulated by us.
Mm.
When you are facing some kind of difficulties, and I think it's also the time to strategize and come up with a solution to overcome.
Mm.
So I think I haven't listened to you most for a long time, but I have heard about issues of information, how you can also... So the information's up. The information is available, readily available, especially when it comes through Eagle FM.
Mm.
Information that pertains to economic opportunities, how people can access funding, how people can also, you know, there are also crossover programs. And I think the information... I agree with David when he says if people are bombarded with a lot of information, they might not be able to digest and interpret those information, just to analyze them and apply maybe information. I think I'm also getting worried a little bit because information is actually available. The newspaper you read, this journals.
Yes, Angabona specifically, but just to clarify for you on what David said a little bit earlier, it was more like some of these events that he and I, we have to go cover and get content from, the people take an attendance register, and then they say Dwight was there, Angabona was there, and then we have the coffee and the tea afterwards, and then they go and tell their funders or, you know, the development partners that sponsored the event that has this information. Yes, look how many Namibians showed up, you know, good attendance. And then if you ask Dwight afterwards, Dwight, did you remember anything from this event? And then I will say, no, I didn't. But Angabona, just hold on for me. Just hold on for me. We're quickly taking an ad break.
Okay.
Okay, right. Hold on. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, I was... Oh, my man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my tassies is getting warm.
Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Angabona, you've got there an extra 30 seconds. Sorry for that.
Okay. Okay. So, but then, if that is the case, the information is available. Maybe they are not so that they digested to the point where an ordinary person can consume the information.
Mm.
All I heard from one of my professors is that lack of information is the greatest poverty. And I think even the knowledge that you have, they say knowledge is power. Knowledge is only power if it's utilized, if you are using it to further, maybe to benefit.
Mm.
But if the information is just there, available, and people are just reading, of course, like in WhatsApp and what is this social media?
Yeah.
That's the kind of information that are there, that people are majorly consuming. I don't think they are really benefiting them much. So maybe somebody need to now say, this economic data analyzed, appropriated to some of these areas that you people are talking about.
Mm.
Maybe that matters a lot. So anyway, thank you very much, you guys. So I just wanted to interact with you.
100% Angabona.
Are you there tomorrow morning? Or that the France or Medina Poggi is there?
No, it's still France, Angabona.
Oh, no problem. So you are doing a good job, and I see the deployment of resources is that people are strategically positioned in that company.
100%, 100%, which we are indeed, Angabona. Don't worry.
Thank you very much. God bless.
The same to you, Angabona. Thanks for coming through. So, on that note, David, besides the strategic repositioning that Angabona highlighted there.
Angabona is a strategist.
Angabona, please stop doing a SWOT analysis about us, please.
You know what they say about strategy, to say A strategy without tactic is just it's a long way to victory.
Yeah.
But the tactic without strategy is noise before defeat. I like that aspect. But I like that way to say we must strategize. But I think as Namibians, we strategized enough. We have been strategic everywhere. We have.
do you know what's even the most difficult thing to even digest, David?
Yeah, yeah.
When you go to, you know, when I went to the discussion in 2024 about the National Planning Commission, Commerce Region stakeholder engagement, for NDP 6, which is now active.
Yeah.
The guy, I don't know if he's number two or number three in NPC.
Yeah.
The guy comes and says, our plans are wonderful. He literally says it.
Yeah.
Because I sat there recording the whole event. Our plans are wonderful.
Mm.
It is monitoring and evaluation.
Yeah.
And then the Commerce Regional, what's that guy? The regional office?
Is it chairperson?
It wasn't the chairperson. The Commerce Regional Officer, yes. Yeah. The CRO.
CRO.
Yeah, the CRO.
Yeah.
The CRO then also does a presentation and says it is difficult to do monitoring and evaluation.
Yeah.
But the plan is there. And then fast forward 2 years into 2026, we're at this Civil Society APRM event of Namibia here.
Mm.
And then you've got the civil society guys all saying it's monitoring and evaluation. So if we know, Ned David, because you also said it now, we know the strategy, but we know it takes one guy to write the piece of paper. Why do we have 7D guys writing the paper, but with no one to monitor and evaluate?
No, sometimes it's not even our thing. No, it's not our thing. Honestly, it's not our thing. Yeah,
we've all played sport, man. We know when the coach tells us, I don't want you to kick the ball long.
You know, and this thing was really stuff. Sometimes we know it's not our document. Somebody, you went to get a consultant from outside. Even if you get a consultant to tune things out, at least you must know what you want to get into.
Yeah.
You know that, you know, one person gave a presentation to say, you don't need an MBA to come up with a strategic plan. Just know the direction where you are going.
Yeah.
The MBA graduate, they will come and tune it for you. But what is now complicated is this one, they are not coming to tune it for you. They are coming and do it for you.
Yeah.
You do not understand.
Yeah.
It's written in the language that you cannot even read. Just, and I'm not insulting anybody. Just a regional plan that with corporate English and all these things, and you bring it to the head of the region, that is a political appointee who does not maybe have, because that does not really require experience, who was supposed to oversee that.
Yeah.
Then you bring that document to people that are not motivated. People do not know that every time you go to work, you are implementing the vision of the institution.
Yeah.
Every time you are going to work, that is your Bible. Yeah. They do not know that everything is connected to them.
Yeah.
When your boss is saying you must pick these boxes, it was supposed to be part of the strategic plan. Then the question is that at what direction are we moving into? Because strategy is good. Everybody's talking about strategy. I was very angry and I'm still angry. Maybe to say disappointed.
Is it the event of today?
No, not the event of today.
Oh.
I always speak about Nida. When I'm not happy with something, Nida was having a CEO who came there. I don't know what he did. But when he came to power, he transformed a lot of few things there. Documents were missing. Financial statements were not being, you know, presented on time. Then he did some things and put them in order, drafted an integrated business
strategy
plan.
Yeah.
I mean, business strategy.
It's a plan. Yeah, you're right. It's a plan.
Yeah, no. It's even the 5-year strategy. For the first time since the establishment of the institution.
And the institution was established when?
I think it's 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
Then, I don't know what happened. He got.
No, but wasn't
fired.
Wasn't he part of another organization? And he was only there.
No, he was there for recommendation, but he was taken down.
Yeah. Oh.
He went back with the board.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to make is that the person championed the establishment of the plan. Then, in that plan, they used to say by 2030, 30,000 jobs. From us, which means that we got you NP6, which you are struggling there, here we got you. all of a sudden this person is not there. He was supposed to be the head of that direction. I don't know what happened. My question is really to say, is this strategic plan really going to be implemented fully?
Now that the person who was the brain trust.
Yeah, who are the chair of that. Because the CEO, you develop your vision.
Yeah.
The board just approve.
The board has nothing to do with daily activity.
Yeah, because you are the one who is really at the center of that. I don't know now to say, was this a wasting of resources? Because when you remove a person before he start...
Before you actually see, start seeing results.
Yeah, because, you know... But it's something that we need to ask ourselves to say. We spend more time in drafting of plan. That's why Dwight, maybe you tell me, you have more experience than me in this industry. Maybe you were called at strategic review, or it's just the launch. Because why I'm always asking this question to say, why the launch are always public, but when they are doing their plan,
they're review, planning, writing the documents,
drafting is all
behind doors.
No, just to say, 5 years are gone. Let's look at back.
Yeah.
Because before you draft most, you go and review.
Yeah.
We are never called for those. Because we're supposed to be there to say, guys, when you review, when you say 20,000 jobs, where did you end?
When you only process that did that now was NDB5 thing.
Yeah.
But I had to come back to the studio to come give the colleagues that did the on the radar that day to come give them content because I couldn't stay past 2 o'clock to look at what happened in NDB5. Now, the concern was you would also think, why didn't we start with the review first before we start looking at inputs into possible NDB6?
Because the review is what's giving you the direction. Because to say, yes, you are only calling us for the launch, but you don't call us to say, what did you do before? 5 years ago, what did you do? And this is setting off dreams to Ryan Ministries. It's true. Because, you know, you end up saying that the minister is not performing, but...
Now the minister needs to defend something he never knew about.
Yeah, because they are setting just dreams to say, no, I think this guy is working properly. I think the board is good.
Yeah.
The CEO is operating. They even have, you know what they always say? It's in line with PEGA Act. The financial statement is in order. It's even submitted on time in line with PEGA Public Enterprise Governance Act. When you're in line with that, you are good. But they don't say the previous one, this is what we did.
Oh, this is where we improved from.
Yeah, because if I was a head of a ministry, I can go back to the institution to say, yes, I'm very happy with your document, but can we go back, colleagues, to say, what did you say 5 years ago for me to trust you with this document? How much did you spend into this? Because if you have pending financial statement and you are submitting something that you are saying you are going to do, how are we going to know you? Yeah, because maybe you are getting there. Maybe monitoring and evaluation officers, they are going to be there for, the opportunities are going to be created.
No, but they need to be departments, not just officers.
Yeah, departments. Yeah. Maybe it's going to be enforced because that is what we need. Because if we don't do that, even the data that we have may be
skewed,
maybe 10% apart from where they're supposed to be because of lacking of this. Because if you see somebody heading, a planning commission and was really angry to say, guys did not submit maybe they did not know what they're doing.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, our best example is also a NIDA-related example here on the home run, where they went and looked at the interventions that NIDA did.
Yeah.
They built a whole bunch of sites across the country. One of them was the garment factory at Nkurenkuru, a garment factory at Kirpansoop, the tannery at Ondangwa. Now, here's the nice thing about Ondangwa's tannery, David, is that when the standing committee showed up there, the standing committee on economics, I think, or public accounts, one of the two, when they showed up to go and see what does this tannery look like, and did it create jobs? Does it create some sort of economic activity? Because the plan was that the thing creates economic activity and then jobs. They get there. They find a volunteer workforce, the standing committee. Emphasis on the word volunteer. David, I have never heard of people just volunteering to work without being paid.
Yeah.
They find out that the volunteer workforce owns the inputs, meaning the cattle hides, the leather.
Yeah.
But the volunteer workforce doesn't know who's responsible for the polluting, the pollution that's taking place in the septic tank. Because there are leather, there are hides stuck in that tank, and it's causing some sort of an environmental hazard. And then no one knows who's in charge of the tannery facility. Like, there's no management, administrative or actual. Now, when you look at scenarios like that now, where, like you said, you can see an entity like NIDA really wanted to get stuck in economic development in the country.
Yeah.
But when you go to the far-flung places of Namibia where they put up these installations, you find a different kind of an administrative culture. The guy in Keetmans, the garment factory in Keetmans, the guy shifted premises without informing the NIDA administration. He moved the company from the approved premises to another premises. And then they couldn't trace whether the entity is making garments. Because one of the strategies is in Namibia, Namibia's industrialization roadmap is, we need to sort out the soft industries. Soft industries like shirts, you know, textile products, shirts like chairs, you know, things that we use every day. All they saw was an empty premises, the original address. The new address, they can't trace it, and they don't know who is in charge of the address, and they can't trace the guy that was left with the project, the project manager. You get to Nkurunkuru, it's an empty factory just standing there. The other one was, what was the other one, Toh?
I think they also have, I think there was a time, they have asset of over, I don't know if it's 2 billion, I'm speaking under correction.
Yeah. Financial or like no, just physical assets?
No, physical assets. There was a time, in 2024, the Minister of Finance at that time is Ipumbune. Now said, guys, you have a weak financial statement. Why not you making use of asset that you have?
That you can convert into
it's
money.
It's not about you don't need more money, you just need to organize yourself. He said that.
Yeah.
It was at the launch, you know, your financial statement is very weak. But you have this a lot of money from these assets that you already have. You can generate more money from this. What you need is not money. Because the problem that we have...
So they didn't know that they can convert assets into money. Very good.
I don't know, because the question that I'm really asking is, who is sabotaging the development of Namibia?
Why do you use the word? Why do you use the word?
You know, because in every underperformance, there is always somebody benefiting from that. And people do not know this, to say, sometimes it's not about leaders are not leading the institution very well. Sometimes the situation that they cannot see. Somebody who literally set you up to fail. Somebody, I was watching one YouTube video, somebody say, no, look, you find somebody who is just an ordinary administrator, but can be more powerful than the CEO. The person has been there for, let me say, 20 years. But he's the one who is moving things. He knows who is who.
The technocrat.
Where the money is coming from.
Do they call them the technocrats or the bureaucrats?
No. Not necessarily to say he's a technocrat. Just a blockade.
A gatekeeper.
Yeah. You can call the person that way. But that's a blockade within the system to say, you may have assets, but if you are in Windhoek, you do know what people are doing in Rundu. If you are just appointed now.
No, you won't know.
Yeah.
You won't know that when
you want to travel from here to Rundu, then the accountant who has been there for 20 years is also cutting. It's like it's also Travis cutting from your S&T too. You go there because you're a CEO.
Yeah.
But when numbers are coming, things are not...
they're not balancing.
Well. Yeah. And when you just go there for... And maybe... It's just a question of accountability. Sometimes these guys, they go through a lot of stress. Because you may be... Because I'm always asking myself the question to say, man, how come... Go to Namibia Business School. Go to UNAM. Go to IUM. Go to... What did they call it in NUST? Popkevitz.
The Harold Popkevitz School of Business and Administration.
Look at the thesis of the graduates of business school. Most of them, these are senior managers. Most of them, they can become CEOs here and there. These are the people who study the industry. Then you always ask yourself to say, how come an A student, somebody who has been around, who studied, who did not only studied business,
mm.
but somebody who practiced business, failed to lead an institution.
Mm.
There was somebody whose name is not going to be mentioned.
Don't mention.
Yeah.
Don't mention.
The person was a star in, and I think from where we were standing, I think we misjudged him.
Mm.
The person was a star in Africa financial market.
Mm.
PhDs, economics, trade, all these things. When people are meeting in Nairobi with the president of African Development Bank, these are the guys who are there. They are not only talking about the economy of the institution, but the economy of the whole African countries.
Of the economies, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this person got an opportunity to lead an institution in Namibia. But I asked myself, he did not even pass the probation. And I went to ask myself to say, and I got it to say, it's not that this person is not good.
Mm.
It's not that this person does not, has ego whatsoever.
Mm.
It's the system itself that is testing him.
Oh no.
To say, welcome home.
You are actually right.
Yeah.
David, you're actually right.
Yeah.
Go ask. I don't know if you know any Namibians
yeah.
who have worked outside of Namibia.
Yeah.
In the private sector.
Yeah.
And you go ask them, can they, with the experience, the knowledge they've mm-hmm. collected.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, the person only has a degree
mm-hmm.
or an honors degree. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not like this super academic with like a million years of experience.
Yeah.
This person just has like a degree or basic degree, but it's a special degree, a specialized degree.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say they got it from a university. That's just a few steps above the big three in Namibia.
Yeah.
And then you ask that person, can they find a job with their skills, their qualifications, their background in Namibia? They will tell you no, David. They will tell. But if they go to a place like New York, they will find a job like this. Just getting off the plane will guarantee them a job. Now, I ask this question there on the scenario of what you just explained.
Yeah.
In many cases, the media love making, let's say, a CEO, the management, the board of a company, they like putting the spotlight on these people.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I've realized of us, the journalists, or let me say our fellow communicators.
No, you.
I love beating down on them. Okay. I love beating down on them, David. I won't deny it. Okay, I love beating, because you know why?
Yeah.
Many of them have never worked in customer service.
Yeah.
I have worked in customer service.
Yeah.
Many of them have never worked, have never had the opportunity of actually being the mediator in a conflict.
There's a
customer who paid money.
Yeah.
There's a colleague who didn't act on the request of the customer.
Mm.
The customer turns to you as the senior colleague.
Mm.
Please solve this dilemma for me.
Yeah.
Now, what you have to do is, firstly, you've got to maintain the goodwill of the company.
Yeah.
Secondly, you've got to maintain the reputation of the company.
Mm.
Thirdly, you've got to make sure that customer goes from being angry to being satisfied and then comes back for repeat business.
Yeah.
Now, at the heart of this, if you read like maladministration or malfeasance articles in Namibian media here in the landscape, David, it is not those managers. I will tell you today.
Yeah.
In some cases, it is them. Let's say like things like procurement, you know, like true corruption.
Yeah.
That is management. Those are managers.
Yeah.
But the guys that you mentioned, the unseen people, the faceless, I'll call them the faceless.
Faceless power.
Yeah, the faceless powers
Are
literally centers of power in departments in some companies.
Yeah.
And believe you me, they are powerful.
No, they are. That's why you find somebody who is...
the unfortunate thing is, I was one of them.
Why? You are an assistant accountant? And why you don't want promotion or what? You have been there for 15 years. You are driving
that person's job is fine.
No, he's moving things.
That person's job is fine.
Yeah, he's moving things because he has been there. And maybe the other thing that I want to say is also that I think the culture of public sector institution need to change. We touched it a little bit yesterday, but the culture of public institution need to change. I'm always impressed by, not to give him a title, by the Namara head, what he does to say beyond corporate decisions, this guy step up and do other things.
Mm.
Because apart from performing over their targets, they are also winning in sports. And they are also conducting surveys on happiness.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
Just to make sure that you don't want somebody to come to you, say you are not treated properly, but to say to make sure that the horses that are in front, these are the securities, these are the administrators, these are the, you know, the first horses that you meet.
Yeah.
They are very happy and excited to go to go work. To war.
Every day.
Every day. They go
that's,
there.
That's their office. Yeah, every day.
Yeah, they go there and run. But I think it takes a transformational leader. But if the system become too corrupt, the good people will be cut off first. You understand what I mean?
Mm.
If the system is not handled properly, the good people that can transform institution will be cut off first.
But David,
yeah.
it has happened so many times.
Because the mafia always win.
It has happened so many times.
Yeah, because the mafia always win.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, yeah. even if, and now I'm stepping away from like the SOEs.
Yeah.
If you go like into the private sector.
Yeah.
The latest one is the bank that I bank at. I won't mention names.
I want to be blocked tomorrow.
They know where, I know where they work. But anyway, so the bank where I bank now, a recent, obviously in one of the publications in Namibia came out that there was accusations between the employees outside of the management, meaning the middle management and the top management, are the only guys that received bonuses and the rest of this employee cater.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look into such a scenario now, David, it sometimes is also a discussion of, like we referenced now, the faceless powers that you would find in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize even there in the private sector, there are divisions.
Yeah.
There are divisions. There's a guy, okay. Let me not use that example. Otherwise it would have zoned in very quickly on that person.
Yeah.
But let me use another example. When I worked specifically like in advertising sales, I asked at one guy, who is, you know, who are the people that you, because I'm talking to the marketing manager, I asked him, who are the people that helps you determine these prices?
Yeah.
He says, well, Dwight, it's the buyer division. Now, this is a retail company. He said, it's the buyer division. I said, the buyers? He said, yes. All information about pricing has to move through this department. So these guys are the guys that have to deal with, let's say, your grocery department in a shop, ne? So the person growing the vegetables has to give a price list to this guy, to this guy, the buyer.
Mm.
But then also, the same guy, David, is let's say if it's a fuel supply company, that helps with operations. They supply operations of your enterprise.
Yeah.
This fuel supply company has to give the price list of their products to the same guy.
One person.
Okay, not just one person metaphorically, but let's say this is a department
that
deals with business where they make money and business where they have to give money away.
Mm.
Meaning expenses and operations. This one department,
David,
is not the finance department. This one department is also not operations. They tell operations, guys, come and give me what you guys need for, you know, like weekly and monthly procurement. Let us know. Is there a shop or a facility that needs upgrading? Or are we opening something new?
Mm.
Let's know what are we budgeting for? Now, that's the private sector.
Yeah.
But when you get into the public sector side of things,
yeah,
the private sector guys, all you see is just the shelves are full of food, your favorite cool drink is in the fridge.
Yeah.
You are sorted as a consumer because they make sure the operations must be smooth, no interruptions, no hiccups.
Mm.
But when you come to the public sector, so you find out if Dwight, the finance guy, the finance officer in the finance department of a local authority, Dwight was busy opening up an investment account with the water and electricity payments that the consumers of the town were paying. And Dwight was the whole time, for every $5 that were paid, Dwight was taking $2.50 and putting it into his investment account. David, every time we hear about these faceless powers in public sector, but it only comes out when
the bad things happen.
No, it's true, and I'm really feeling very very pity. Not to say pity. I know he's a project man.
Mm.
ASAP, especially going to ACC to say, where are you starting?
But even where he is, the yeah. FIC, ne, is technically also an ACC in inverted commas.
Yeah, but FIC is a specialized institution. But if you compare it to ACC.
ACC is now across the board.
It's across the board.
Everything. Every rock. Yeah, every...
Yeah, every corrupt related activity has to come to you. But you're also under-resourced. Do you know that... I did an interview with Tate Noah before, I think three times.
Mm.
But he always speaking about losing his best man to the private sector.
Yeah.
He losing his best man to private sector to say, I train a lot of good people, but the banks took them. Some they go to FIC. Now my question is that, based on what you have said, when are we going to reach a point in Namibia where we are saying, because there is no system without corruption, but where we are saying everybody is satisfied, or 80% of the people are satisfied, or the system itself is detecting and the system itself is protecting itself. Because, you know, there are conversations that you enter into.
Yeah.
But people know exactly who is doing wrong things, who has been doing wrong things for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
Why services are not moving fast? Why the case that was reported by Anacreta now is still standing? But sometimes you realize to say it's not correct. If I own a bakery, you can't have a tuck shop and you are selling bread. By nature of me, I suspect you that you are taking my bread.
And it's obvious. Everyone in the community sees that I'm taking your business.
No. Because if you are working at my bakery.
You mean in that relationship where there's employee-employee relationship?
No, yeah, let me say I'm an employer, ne?
Yeah.
And I have a bakery where I'm producing breads and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you are working full-time, but you also have a community tuck shop at home. But that community tuck shop is just full of bread. I'm just giving an example.
Yeah.
There are still people that are working at institution with access to right information, but they are still operating in that space.
The side hustles.
The side hustles. And also, in most cases, utilization of inside information. Nobody can compete with you if you are already sitting on top of that cake.
Yeah, because you are in front of the line.
You are in front of the line already. Yeah. You know who is coming, who is not coming.
Yeah.
If you are going to dinner with the guy at procurement, and you are also tendering, and you are coming from there. And these are things that really, I think, you cannot stop them with an institution. You need to stop them with cultural transformation.
Actually, with a system.
With a system.
Not the institution, just a system.
Because you can bring the best ACC, best investigator, the best guys, but you are going to be exhausted.
Yeah. Because the workload will be too long.
Yeah, the workload will be too long. Judges will still get tired of you.
And the judges will say, we have other court cases, please. Yeah. But yeah. But David, let's quickly take a short break and we come back right after this.
Yeah.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know
know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So we come back, dear listeners, from the quick break, or extended break, sorry, extended break. Yeah, we have this a slight tendency where we just, we overshare some more, and the sharing just continues. But before we actually continue, we're taking a live read, and we come back right after that. Velvice University, for the 2027 applications that are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences for the following programs. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse, Midwife, or Acushur Level 6, Certificate in Pharmacy Level 5, Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences Level 6, Bachelor of Social Work Honours, Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8, Postgraduate Diploma in Occupational Health and Safety Level 8, Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8, Master of Public Health, and the Master of Occupational Health and Safety. For more information, call 081-403-6406. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever. Right, so we did actually pull a line from the particular, you know, APRM discussion, but it's still in that scenario specifically where the points we've made highlight a specific core function at the heart of everything. Now, I want to bring in something else also that I mentioned yesterday in yesterday's particular discussion of the civil society and the Namibian branch of the APRM here in Namibia, which is a philosophic position to take. The philosophic position being, do you hear a country like the United States or like the United Kingdom or like France or like Germany use the word development in sort of like their national planning, in their national policy discussion or elements? No, you don't hear about it. You'd probably hear them talk about maintenance of infrastructure. You'd probably hear them about talking about improving on existing systems, but nothing about developing up to a desired level, because they probably know that they are at the best particular socioeconomic, sociopolitical, overall economic position where they wanted to be, you know, in correlation or in comparison to what happened to them back in 1945 or at the end of 1945. They know that they are in the best position for populations, communities, and people basically to, you know, enjoy the particular way of life that they are currently experiencing. Now, from what David and I, we've been sharing, so in the meantime, you've got to ask yourself the particular question also of one in terms of, okay, so does this technically mean we as Namibia, we've got to chart our own course, find our own way, potentially use our own money to finance our own particular needs? Yes, yes, and yes. Just before we stepped in at 4 o'clock, specifically me, I told David that if you ever think about it, the Global North, which is a cluster of the NATO countries, they had the opportunity at colonialism. They had the opportunity also of rapid extraction and also depending upon far off territories to feed their economy with very cheap and accessible raw materials, very cheap manpower,
very cheap transportation. They knew they could strengthen their national currencies to become global trading currencies. So they knew, or technically they were at the forefront, which actually reinforces the one point that David made just before the break. The point being, who is that person that's first in line, primarily that works close to the particular information source, that knows the ins and outs of the benefits to be developed? Let's, for example, say of a specific targeted program. Those people always exist. They will always exist. They always do exist. You can't ignore them, guys. They do exist. They do exist. So when you see a particular detail like that, the detail does not mean, okay, become discouraged. No, it doesn't mean that. The detail speaks to, what do you think you can do from this particular position? From the position you find yourself in comparison to the person who knows the ins and outs and potentially has already positioned themselves to being the first beneficiary of whatever particular, you know, benefits are to be generated. Whatever particular benefits are to be generated. A dimension that obviously exists is when you look at what APRM wants to achieve is to sort of like help with governance. No, David, to help with governance.
Come again?
APRM wants to help with governance.
Yeah.
But the question is, if when I use the colonial example, if Europe, let's for example say the United Kingdom, let me be specific. The United Kingdom had the luxury of having India for extraction, the whole of Africa, the whole of Australia and New Zealand, and they got much of their raw commodities super cheap. That means they had the first dibs, the first opportunity of reaching the most desired state past development.
Yeah.
So when we basically have to look at our trajectory as Namibia, where do we want to find ourselves in our most desired state of development?
You know, if you want to answer that question,
if
you want to answer that question, just ask yourself, follow the money. Is the money that we are quoting every day.
Yeah.
And I want people to get it this way. There are prices which are being made. I think tomorrow there's still going to be another price from China. There are monies that are coming to Africa. But is this money the only thing that we need? Is the money the only thing that we need? Is it coming to you? Is it coming to your engineers? Is it coming to your local content people?
Yeah.
Money has been coming.
Yeah.
Look at the numbers. Our African leaders have always been going outside to say, Europe, please give us the money. We need the money. Money has been coming. Then you ask yourself a question to say, aid, it has been proven that aid has strings attached. That is number one. Number two, an investor is not your friend, it's not your family. Yeah. And people must be very clear about when you speak about investment. An investor, it's the same thing when you are saying you're investing, you want to make money, right?
Yeah. The aim is to make money.
Investor want to make money from you.
Yeah.
Now, with this opportunity of investor coming to you, you now have a chance of also making money in that process. But if you are not putting your house in order, investor can come and invest in our mining. They get whatever legal framework is there.
Yeah.
Then they get their things out. There is a difference between giving advice and directive. If EU is saying, guys, I think you guys are corrupt, you must be removed from the grey listing and all these things. We are also ready to help you. If you are not willing to follow, it's not them. Yeah, that's why we must find that difference to say we may be, maybe we are with a good friend for a very long time, but we are not getting advice. Or the friend is also with his own intention of getting benefiting from you. To say, if you look between Africa and EU, post-colonial Africa, let's start 1960, we have been benefiting. Who have been benefiting, and did we move an inch? If we move an inch, what lesson have we learned?
Yeah.
Which policy have we criticized? we never ask a question to say, why do you give us 20 billion? We only want 15. We never ask a question to say, what is the contract behind that?
Mm.
And we come to that point, it will not work out. But looking at the position of APRM, I think APRM is the only institution, if they continue their trajectory, is the only institution that will take us from this organization, because I like the way it's being run.
Yeah.
You have ambassadors, you have technical experts, you have academics and researchers. And these are the people who can advise and say, this is for Africa.
Mm.
Once Africa credit rating system become operational, we don't need somebody to come and define us. Because you know why? What we are scared the most? We are not scared of whether we go home hungry.
Mm.
We are scared of
being called a liar.
We are scared to be called a name by somebody outside.
Yeah.
So if our country is being governed correctly,
which includes being called a liar.
Yeah. Yeah. If our country is being governed correctly and we are very happy in the country, whoever calls us a dictator is another person.
Mm.
That we don't care about that.
Mm.
Do you understand? But just a small thing happened outside directed to us, we run. Just a list being published. Maybe we're busy moving that direction. We say, no, let's stop even giving these people food.
Mm.
Let's put these more resources because we want people to look at it this way.
Mm.
Maybe it's, I don't want to say it's the colonial mentality. It's a colonial mentality.
But,
just,
but it is. Because you are literally saying the same sentence that Kuduma said last week.
Yeah.
Kuduma said, he used the phrase, it's the new governance perspective.
Yeah.
That from the Thabo Mbeki, that cluster of leaders at that stage. So we're talking about from 2000 coming this way.
Yeah.
Where they cited literally, listen guys, we've got to listen what I can, just assume.
Yeah.
Because this is technically where we also see Namibia. Like if you look at NDB6, NDB6 basically says it has a mixed match of a top down view, but also a bottom up contribution.
No, it's a very good thing that you pointed that out. From the global perspective, ne?
Yeah. Well, actually,
yeah.
Global feeding into like whoever wrote NDP6.
Oh, okay.
And then NDP6 went and extrapolated what potentially is already in the communities.
Yeah.
So, but you can see that there's a missing bridge there just to bring to sort of like completely fit, what you call it, to complete the strategy.
Yeah.
Kuduma highlighted the new, that cluster from 2000 of African leaders wanted a citizen-led. He used the phrase citizen-led governance discussion. Now, I have unfortunately not seen it in a Namibian context.
Hmm.
Anyone taking a survey? You cited the survey at Namran, the happiness surveys.
Yeah.
But that sounds more like internal.
Yeah, that's internal, yeah.
But for example, like Namra then saying, let's ask the people on the database what they think about us.
Hmm.
Or NamWater asking its clients, what do you guys think about us?
Yeah.
Or NamPower asking its clients, what do you guys think
about us?
Ask
the client in the Kavango.
and then they assess. Yeah. And because the survey would obviously try to understand why are you unhappy or why are you happy.
Yeah, oh. and there's a suggestion. I did not like those kinds of queries after events.
Yeah.
But I realized that I've been not contributing for a very long time when it comes to institutions that are measuring their progress. Do you know that if you attend and it's very strong with Namibian NGOs, maybe because of being run internationally, they respect MNE. When they conducted those surveys, I just used to think it's just papers.
Yeah.
Little did I know that those things are going to be recorded. Then they are coming up with graphs. Then they also see these are what people are suggesting. This is what people's view.
Yeah.
But it's a good question that you brought up about, I don't want to say citizen directed development, but a development that is based on humans.
Yeah, it is. It should have the human at the center. Because currently right now, for example, like this exercise that the president is taking to China. Everything I keep seeing is
infrastructure.
Is industry first.
Yeah.
It doesn't speak to what do you and I as the Namibian on the ground need.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, David.
a Namibian academic can just be good as a Chinese academic.
Definitely. No, can even be better. Just be in front.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if it comes to specifically about Namibian affairs,
yeah,
then the person living here is obviously the best suited.
Yeah.
Or a Namibian academic versus a German academic.
Yeah.
But the downside is that there's actually, let me tell you another story.
Yeah.
So last week Friday, I don't know if last week Friday you didn't join us for the Ancestral Land Conference report.
No, I was not there.
Yeah. So I took that report and I saw an anomaly. Mm. I call it an anomaly in the report. I took that report, David, and then I called my, my sort of like my, family historian as well. Because there was something in that report that didn't sit well, David, that international anthropologists know for a fact to be, the opposite of what is in that report. The report cited the first groups that lived here.
Mm-hmm.
Nah? This is now pre when the Germans landed.
Yeah.
And then I go ask my family historian who looked up through South African, Dutch and British colonial, Dutch colonial and British colonial historical records.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pre 1800 records. Where they cited specifically there were certain particular groups of peoples. For example, like the Orange River discussion that we had, you and I and Helmut.
Mm-hmm.
Ne? Mm. There were like major tribes living along the Orange River, and then into southern Namibia. And then the discussion that stems from that is one that then cascades into the report that I sat with in front of me. And I was like, what did this commission go and report to President Hage? Because the report, ne, doesn't coincide with all those things. For example, there was a governor that he was known as sort of like the first mixed governor that the Cape of Good Hope had. His name was Simon van der Stel.
Yeah.
Now, you would think it's a European guy, but his dad was the European settler. His mom was one of those local Khoisan ladies.
Yeah.
Ne? But Simon was literally like the first mixed guy. And this is in the 1600s.
Yeah.
Simon went to go meet, because he heard most now from the local communities.
Yeah.
He went to go meet the people close to the Orange River, get their reports, and understand what's on the other side of the Orange River, who lives on the other side.
Yeah.
Now, here's the discussion. It's a good thing we highlighted the academic qualities also.
Yeah.
Because there is also a disconnect present in Namibia where we believe that the Germans were the only ones knowing about us.
No, yeah, you are correct, and it's the same thing. It's the same conversation that you are bringing about. Even it's a good thing that almost every Namibian is outside the country. I always say, so that they will come back with better information.
Yeah.
There is a discussion that has been driven about indigenous knowledge.
Mm.
I like Dr.
I'm currently missing an event that's now taking place at FNC.
Kera from IUM is a champion of indigenous knowledge. He always speak about indigenous knowledge, what is African can contribute to academia and all these things.
Yeah.
The same thing with medicine.
Yeah.
There are things that we take when you go to the hospital that can even worsen our sickness.
Indeed.
But there are things that have been used by our grandmother, people for hundreds of years. And it's helping us.
Yeah.
But we are still doubting ourselves up to now.
Yeah. Traditional medicine, yeah.
To say, well, let us call a good doctor, Ruvindao, to say, our good doctor, what level of traditional medication is integrated in Namibian academia?
And its knowledge.
And its knowledge is integrated into, even just into education. When you have laboratories here, accredited or not accredited, at what percentage of traditional medication are integrated?
Mm.
Or we are still waiting for somebody to come from outside, come to stay in Namibia as a volunteer or just as an assistant.
Mm.
Then maybe this person is a retired professor. Then the next thing that you see, there's a new vaccine coming from outside.
Mm.
But these are things that are coming from your country. It's the same that you brought about to say, because development is not coming from outside. We may go and look for knowledge outside.
Mm.
But it's within ourselves. I interviewed one lady of, her response really changed my mind. I was talking about AI governance.
Yeah.
And this AI, the robot said, look, we are already far.
The lady of yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Rahab. She said, no, we are already far in terms of infrastructure. We are not going to catch up. We may have data centers, but what is important is the person behind that machine. We must not only focus more
on the physical infrastructure. Yeah.
But let us look at talent. That is the same thing. To say a laboratory can bend down, but if the engineer or the chemist still have that formula.
Yeah, and then they know how to restart the lab.
Look what happened to Iran. You can bring 20,000 backup buster. They are saying, no, that is not the problem.
Mm.
We have the formula here in our mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is maybe one of the things that we must really look at to say, apart from looking at APRM report, apart from looking at our developmental partner, and people must get me correctly, there are very good things that it's not only EU.
Mm.
Developmental partners, even US, they've done good things to Africa. But there are also things that we should question to say, what is that they did not do right?
Mm. Because like South Africa is to give us our side of the river.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if we are true honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
And we can stand and say, on top of our feet, 80% of the project that they have done, we love them.
Mm.
But here is where they did not understand us. But if all our academia, all our policy analysts, they have been saying, developmental partners, you guys are doing very well, then we have a very big problem.
Mm.
Because if that happened, it's up to us to identify where the problem is.
Mm.
To say, yes, this is how the money is coming in, this is how it's being used by the trees, let us meet here.
Mm. And then our people in Windhoek goes and meets the people, let's say it's in Ochotonjuba.
Yeah.
And then you ask them, listen, okay, so you asked for an expansion of your budget. Why?
Yeah.
Well, we realized we had to mitigate, let's say it's a drought relief program locally.
Mm.
Or they realized they had to intervene in a malnutrition medical or health related thing, an emergency.
Mm.
At least then you know the money is internally funded. Because now, like you said a little bit earlier, David, if that aid money, development money shows up here, then you are told, please, if you are building a road, the money is just for the road. Not for you to respond to malnutrition.
But I have Ebola in my region. Why should I build the road?
That is true.
You know what happened in Zambia?
Yeah.
I think the history of IMF, why people started the issue of structural adjustment. I think you touch it one day or so. That at one point when KK came to power, you know, Zambia was supposed to be the leading figure in terms of something, because they got independence first.
Mm.
Then many other African countries, they got independence. I think
were they before Ghana, or was Ghana before them?
No. Almost the same period.
Okay.
If Ghana is not 59 there, they started in the 60s.
Yeah.
And that will also tell you to say 20 years before Zimbabwe become the breadbasket of Africa.
Yeah.
Interestingly, when Kaunda came to power, what he did not do right is the political part of things. He made sure that one-party system and all these things and nationalizing of industries.
Mm.
But there was a time where Zambia needed money.
Mm.
Then I say, no, chief, we give you money. We have the bag of money. However, we have structural adjustment program. You adjust, we give you this billions of dollars, but you must cut on your social grant, which means that you are no more focusing on uplifting human lives. You must open up the market so that international company can come and compete with you. You must privatize.
Why does that sound like the...
No, it's the structural adjustment program.
Yeah, but they call it now the... What do they call it? Yeah. In terms of economics, they call it like the new liberal perspective.
Yeah.
They believe that markets will solve all things. Meaning, even if you and I are at uneven positions in life, the market will sort of like uplift us both. But here's the thing. You and I know that in a free market, not everyone gets the same job.
No, there are winners and losers.
Definitely.
Yeah. And you know, the country suffers so much. That's why in 1990, they had debts, I think, of 5 billion or something. And that time is a lot of money.
Yeah.
You can go and check out the records. And that thing, maybe you can say it was good intention from IMF.
Mm.
But the other thing you can also say, they fail to convince. Because by that time, Zambia had also academics who understand. They also fail to be understood.
Mm.
Because it's what they allowed.
Mm.
Things that you see now of Lungu is not a new thing.
Mm.
The politics of Zambia, and I'm not taking them down. The politics of Zambia, for example, have been former president arrested by the current arrested by the other. Even KK was in jail.
What was that? The one that passed away? Frederick.
Lungu.
No, Frederick Chilumba.
He was also arrested. All those guys, I think, except
Edgar was the one that arrested Frederick. And Edgar got arrested by... Who's?
AJ was being beaten up. Look at these things. It's not starting now. That's why even in death, they are fighting.
Yeah.
But maybe one thing that we can also say is that is how your mental partner came in. Because if you don't understand yourself, how do you expect other person to understand you?
Yeah.
A person looking at you maybe think you are hungry, but you are not really hungry, you just want shelter. And that is exactly what happened. But let's wait, and the delegation will come, I think, on Sunday.
Mm.
Let them come.
The 11th, yeah. No, okay. Yeah, on Sunday, you're right,
The main event is not Saturday.
Yeah, 11th is like the last day that they do. Yeah.
When they meet the big guy, the chairman.
Yeah. But here's the thing, yeah. David, we can literally do what China is now showing our president. We can do it all.
Yeah.
The biggest headache for us is skills for everyone. Because you remember the generational conflict that you cited?
Yeah.
But you cited parliament.
Yeah.
I look at like examples in the real world. For example, the one household that I know from there in the south.
Yeah.
The mother's father told her at 16, I can't send you to school anymore. Mm. You have to go and look for your own job. Mm. Otherwise, there won't be food for you in the house.
Yeah.
So at 16, at that stage, Namibia already had the law that says going to school is mandatory.
Yeah.
We already had the law.
Yeah.
So she had to drop out.
At 16. Okay.
Out of high school. Literally starting high school. A second scenario was then obviously the access to food, meaning proper nourishment, proper nutrition. Mm. The third one is then, she then cascades as the parent. The same particular, I'll call it for now, an evil, the same evil onto her children. Mm-hmm. Now the kids, majority of the kids, didn't finish school.
Mm.
So they don't have any prospects. They would like to participate in these industrial things, for example, like the green hydrogen program that's going to happen there at close to Lüderitz, because it's in they live in the region of Karas. And, there is some sort of an excitement, but you can see the reality that there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers. Not everyone is going to work in this sector, and not everyone is going to even see if we can say, like, the lofty promises that were made back in 2021.
El Dorado.
Yeah, the El Dorado, yeah.
The land of honey and gold.
Or the Nubia of Africa, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing that I wanted to ask is that maybe when we went to China, for example, did we really go there with... I know the president has a strategy.
Yeah.
She set the highest level. And,
because she took the ministers with.
You cannot doubt that.
Yeah, she took a whole bunch of ministers with.
And the move was also very strategic to say, my face outside is China. That's what I understand.
Mm.
Apart from the presidential strategy, when the Minister of Education or Representative of Education, Mines and Industry, did they go there with statistics to say, yes, you want to partner with us? But we have these numbers of young people that graduated. What can be done about this?
Mm.
In new industry, how do we connect them to the new industry? Or just come and invest. Somebody can come and invest in the lithium industry while you are busy training people in green hydrogen sector.
Yeah.
Somebody can come and invest in a new critical miner that is coming in now.
Yeah.
And you still have people that are lacking. Then you'll be forced to do what? To fight with your academia, to say, guys, curriculum must change,
and
must move into this direction.
Yeah.
Do we have a strategy in terms of
which numbers? Is happening at UNAM with the green hydrogen, what's that green hydrogen R&D department? Yeah, the institute, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine, but the question is that do we have a strategy, because you already have problems that you already have.
Yeah.
If you say, come and build industries in Namibia, it's not the responsibility of China to say, if I build an industry of... processing uranium in Namibia, and I come up with robotics, mm. and it's only 5 people that are employed, just to give an example, mm. that is not their problem.
Mm.
They build industry, they are ending value, that is what you want.
Mm.
You may end up making money, but your people are not getting money.
And if that, and if that value ne, mm. leads to the AFCFTA being quicker adopted in Namibia, meaning yeah. those robotics,
mm.
the product,
yeah.
being exported into Africa,
yeah.
obviously that company will say, hey, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Even if there's just 5 Namibians employed.
Mm. Mm. And it will change the whole system because the numbers are against us. And
the time is even against us.
No, the time is against us. The numbers are against us. We don't need to say over accelerate. We just need to focus.
Yeah.
Because if we are not focusing, we are going to bite that apple and it does not going to look good.
Mm. And it's not going to taste good.
It is not going to taste good.
Yeah.
Even somebody is going to look at us. Because if we are focused, I like what the president said about youth unemployment.
Mm.
That was a strategic move to say, parents, I know during campaign I promise you money. I mean elders.
Mm.
But the situation on the ground is not conducive. Let mm. me deal with this problem first. That was an honest approach to to leadership.
Mm.
Somebody may just come and increase the finance, then it satisfy political credit,
yeah.
but put the country down.
Yeah.
But standing up and say, no, I know I promise you this amount of money, but it's not going to happen now.
Mm.
Let me give you $100 so that I deal with youth unemployment.
Mm.
That shows that you want to focus because you can't eat everything. Then the question is that, is everybody in the same boat?
Yeah.
Mentally, we can be there present. We can be
there. I'll even add your point of earlier.
Yeah.
The very powerful technocrat.
Yeah.
That sits somewhere in a local authority.
Yeah.
The local authority that I am, you know, that I know very well, because I lived also there for like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
Here in Rehoboth.
Yeah.
So, this last Sunday, David, I must went and helped move my sister to her place.
Yeah.
And then I see my brother give my sister a remote.
Mm.
But it looks like a very weird remote. Man, it's a big and flat thing, almost looks like a cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, like a smartphone.
Yeah.
But it's just buttons with a very small screen, so it's not a mobile phone of any kind.
Yeah.
And then he explains, this is how you buy water in Rehoboth. David, there's water below the town.
Mm-hmm.
There's water. The dam was built before the independence of this country.
It's still operational.
Yeah. Okay. It's still operational. It just feeds Rehoboth, that dam.
Okay.
It was meant for Rehoboth, just, but here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the other big concern, which many public sentiment on the ground in Rehoboth basically tells NamWater officials to their face, basically is, but we were here before you guys were enacted as an act. So why must we pay for water? But
yeah.
but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
We are in 2026.
Yeah.
So when we lived there, David, my mom had to pay water and electricity, the utilities. But then you realize that there are fellow people in the town who totally disregard this social contract. The local authority exists to collect these taxes, these payments. They keep a portion of it, meaning like a markup. They pay NamWater and NamPower what they owe them.
Yeah.
That money they then declare to Ministry of Urban and Rural Development. Urban and Rural Development then tells them, listen, what are your projects for the next coming financial year? Let's know what your procurement plan is. Let's know what your development plan is.
Oh.
And then that's how the money is supposed to work. It's not Ministry of Finance. It's MURD that has to work with these local authorities.
I hear you.
But then you've got a finance officer in that local authority.
Yeah.
Who tells the people of the town, no, the system is off. We can only write you out manual receipts for your payments.
Man,
you pay. You find out your water is disconnected, apparently because you've got a backdated account
outstanding
on an account,
yeah.
and you are this close to being handed over to a collections agency, to a debt collection agency,
to Red Force.
Not just Red Force. That's not just Red Force.
Yeah, I'm just giving an example.
But to a Red Force similar, and then at the heart of this, you realize there's a technocrat.
Mm.
In the local authority.
Mm.
Literally a gatekeeper of progress.
Who's driving a Jeep.
who's driving a Jeep. In many cases, it's a double cab Toyota, a Hilux. You just look at what people drive on small towns, bruh. Then you realize, okay, so you're driving a double cab.
Something is right. It's not the right. Okay.
The next best option of how you would see those riches reflecting is to sometimes an Isuzu double cab.
Because of the environment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's not just environment. No, the bucket just drives in the town. David, they don't even have a farm.
You see that I'm here.
They literally drive like half a kilometer to the office, to the work, and then back.
You know, it's I think it will come back to the issue of what the society accept and also the culture that we want, what we need to put into.
Yeah.
Because if we really define what we want, I don't need a boss to guide me. If I know exactly what I want, if citizens know that this is where we are moving. It's the same thing when I was laughing when I went to my village and my grandmother, may her so rest in peace, she was asking me to say, no, is Harambe did not come? I asked the grandmother, do you know what's Harambe? No, she thought it was just food.
Do you know that what your grandmother said, is what many people, even in the south of Namibia,
you can also find, young people that they completed grade 12, they are saying Harambe is food. And they are not wrong. Just to say, yes, the plan was there, but did the whole country really know
what the actual thing meant? Yeah.
Because Harambe was so... well drafted to that extent that we have our own target to say poverty can be eradicated. There was a debate.
Yeah.
And Kingopo was very straight to say, no, you can actually eradicate poverty. You understand?
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
China is the example. And Japan.
Poverty. Then people, maybe because of information that are not well distributed, maybe because of agenda that is not well defined, because do you know that in Namibia we still define each other as enemies?
I know, bro.
We still draw lines.
Yeah.
To say these are these guys. We even to the extent of beating each other. That's already telling you to say we when we are speaking about institutional coherence, we also need to speak about societal coherence. To say we can be different, but at least when you want to develop, we need to go into one direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's see what Beijing will bring to us. And
Beijing is not Harambe, eh?
No, I know. Beijing will bring us something. You know, China, I think, proven to be an understandable developmental partner.
No,
And the good thing about them, they don't interfere.
Yeah, them and Russia. Mm. The thing is just, I feel pity for Russia because you can see this south-to-south approach that Russia is now taking is because of the 2022 Ukraine conflict.
Yeah.
So now they need to reach out to the rest of the global south. Now, the rest of the global south, in all honesty, David, we don't know Russian diplomacy. We see now Lavrov, remember what Helmut shared on the group earlier, Lavrov meeting with the three misfits of the West Africa.
No, you see, I think he will come to. I don't know if he's coming to Namibia, but it's a continental trip.
Yeah.
Continental. How do they call it?
They call it another word.
There's a word for it because remember the Chinese foreign minister 2025.
Yeah, at the start of 2025.
Yeah, he started with Namibia. Ne?
Yeah.
There's something
on the 3rd of January, and then Justicia and I, we were standing there.
Oh,
and then Justicia wanted to ask the guy questions, and the guy is looking at her like this.
No, he does not like media.
No, but the protocol was we can't ask questions.
Yeah,
we couldn't ask questions, David. Mm. And then our former colleague now wants to like ask questions. I'm like, it's a bad fun, Jayan. You can see that the man has to. He just has to come and say hello.
No, that one is. I saw him one day at not a directory, but. I saw one of the clips. I was in Turkey or something.
Mm.
No, just you need to draw. You need to move.
But he's correctly. But he's like
it's foreign affairs. But
but he's also the vice president.
Serious?
Yeah.
No, I did not get it. I know foreign affairs. I know there's deputy and the speaker.
Yeah.
But they have a way of conducting themselves. The good thing that you brought about the thing of the thing of Russia. We don't know Russian diplomacy.
Yeah.
The same thing, we also do not understand Iranian diplomacy.
Yeah.
Before this thing of geopolitical tensions, we have been friends with Iran for a very long time.
Since before independence.
Yeah. But we did not really understand how they were operating.
Yeah.
And we also did not understand what we can get from them. One of them is education, collaboration in terms of education. We failed that.
Yeah.
Even in terms of science and education,
we
failed because we were putting our eggs in the wrong basket. Because had we understood that they had one of the strong education system in terms of mathematics, science and technology, and they invest more into practical skills, maybe we would have gone far. It's the same thing that you brought that aspect of we don't understand Russian diplomacy. Maybe the other question that we should also ask, who else do we don't understand that we need to understand so that we can get more?
No, there's a lot of people in the EU.
Yeah. Who else we don't understand?
Because there's Italy.
Yeah.
Just before 2024's presidential elections, Namibia participated in an Italy-Namibia summit. And David, the funny thing is that there is no embassy in Namibia for Italy, meaning we don't have direct bilateral relations with Italy. The closest embassy is in Pretoria, in South Africa.
Yeah.
The scenario from that particular sort of like business community summit situation, and that was still organized by the ministry that doesn't exist anymore, Industry and Trade. They organized that back in 2024.
Industry and Trade is divided.
Yeah, it's now between Mines and Energy and International Trade. The downside of that thing is literally, where did that engagement go? Because in many cases, we don't know Italian labor laws. We don't know Italian investors.
We don't want to river tone.
Even the worst part is, David, we don't even fully understand German investors and Germany itself. We know that we have historical relations with Germany, just like we have with South Africa. But now that Germany is like this, you know, full-on major economy in the EU, how are we positioned in the economic sphere for the EU economy with Germany and the EU's involvement in Namibia?
Yeah, and it's a very good thing that you brought it up to say, to what extent do we try to understand our trading partners? Because In the long run, we always realize that deals that we get into is like, no, it's not more a win-win. but we see it later.
Exactly.
We see it later because it starts very well.
Yeah.
But in the long run, we realize to say, it's not what...
Let's quickly take this ad break, David.
Yeah.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25 Namibian. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99 Namibian. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99 Namibian. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99 Namibian. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99 Namibian. You Save. Where else?
All right, just coming back there from the quick break, dear listeners. Yes, and obviously as you hear there specifically about the specials at YouSave, do make a turn. I mean, you only hear it here on your number one talk radio station, specifically that being Eagle FM. And this is the home run. We are close to the end of this afternoon's or this evening show specifically. If you're still in your drive time traffic, obviously you know where to dial into us. And this is as we've been having the discussion primarily. And yes, the new format that we've got here on the home run is obviously something that cascades from the first particular talking point, which is the hypothesis, and also the particular, you know, starting point, and then we cascade into the things that fit into the overall picture, because we give you a lot of context, not to borrow someone's particular tagline, but we give you a lot of context, and we do. Now, David was on a train of thought. He quickly just stepped out. He'll be back right now, dear listeners. But when we look at these particular scenarios in terms of also in the landscape of, you know, how to find out the best fits of local governance, for example, in our context in Namibia, you can't go and study someone else's governance models unless you have similar, let's for example say, similar legal systems like Namibia, South Africa, / Germany, / the UK. But we're not the same countries. None of us are the same countries. None of us are even remotely having potentially the same particular economic structures even. Remotely. When you see these particular aspects, when you see these particular definitions and facts and statements pop up in front of you, it obviously has to help you align your particular activity within that country you find yourself in. Now, Namibia, the similarities between the four countries I just mentioned, Namibia, South Africa, and Germany, are all republics. Did you guys know this? We are all three republics. The UK is not a republic. They have a king. However, South Africa and Germany share a common label. They have something known as a federal or a federation, or being a federal republic to some extent. Even though South Africa's full name is the Republic of South Africa, like Namibia's is also the Republic of Namibia, South Africa and Germany are very close in terms of their internal formations. For example, they don't have regional authorities. South Africa is a provincial authority, and so too does Germany have a provincial authority. Yes. These provincial authorities, they basically do their own planning for provincial economic activity. Now, unfortunately, if you go and ask that question of Namibia's regional authorities, do you do your own economic planning for your regions? Yeah, you'll have to wait for the middle of the year to see what a state of the region address basically identifies to you. You'll have to wait. Another dimension also cites primarily those things that David highlighted in terms of skills development, the health sector and the well-being of Namibians in a specific part of a country. Those are all things that, for example, a country like South Africa has sorted out. Yes, South Africa with its multitude of problems, they've sorted it out. Even Germany, they know how to sort it out. Because they know there is a provincial authority that is responsible in both scenarios to the population that live in that province. Guys, APRM, for example, APRM, even though it is voluntary in terms of participation by the AU nations, because it is recognized by AU heads of state, and AU heads of state are basically the members of the forum in terms of providing guidance to what the mechanism must do, they know that in order for the APRM itself to be a success, says that they have to implement the recommendations that comes through from the APRM assessments of their own countries, i.e. the whole public sector within a designated country has to play ball. Guys, the private sector will always do their part. The private sector will help the money move. The private sector will sell goods. The private sector will manufacture goods. The private sector will hire people. The private sector might retrench people. But the private sector is always dynamic and it will always be there. The guy that should be invisible but present, critical but stable, is the public sector. You know they are there when there's a pothole in your street. Yes, you see that crew show up. They close that pothole. They annoy you for like the half day of your life in a full calendar year for making the road go 30 kilometers per hour slower than usual. But at least you know and you can see that that pothole is being fixed. You see the new street signs being put up after someone on a Friday night flew their Vurpa through, you know, a light post, a stop sign, and a robot at the same time. You don't know if the person survived or not, but all you knew is the aftermath. That when you drove past that specific intersection where those three pieces of public infrastructure were knocked down, you don't know if the person was drunk or not. Is that literally, you can see the cleanup crew and the repair crew there from the public sector. Then you know, things are working. Things are functioning. But now I have to bring your attention to something else. Our question still stands between what David and I basically cited. Now, you don't have to answer it right now because we all technically only have 8 minutes left. But the question is still, do we really need to go to other countries to try and understand what they've gotten right? Or can we watch TV from here and then just walk across the street or potentially just, you know, tell your driver as a minister or as the president, drive me down to that ministry. I want a PowerPoint presentation about what we get right, what we get wrong, and what is on the table to fix what we did wrong, and what is on the table to improve what we got right. I'll cite things to you, dear listeners, that you also have to think about in a comparative manner. Last week, because I don't pay attention to these things anymore, specifically like teenage pregnancies on schools. I don't care anymore. I'll tell you why I don't care, because I was on a school specifically where from grade 9 when I joined here in Windhoek, I had a classmate who was pregnant from 99 to 2002. Okay, not her specifically, but there was a classmate. There was always a girl classmate who was pregnant, who had to miss a part of her education, her mandatory education. Her opportunity for achieving her potential as set out under Vision 2030. Because she had a boyfriend. And because the boyfriend probably was that kind of a teenage boy who thought it was romantic being in your teenage years to have a baby while still being on school. I don't pay attention to those things anymore. Because the parents know that the girl and the boy are dating as well. Things that the parents should be intervening on, that you, the rest of the public of Namibia, you're like, why must I know about teenage pregnancies in a school? Why should I know this? Where you can clearly say, if you had access to these statistics, that for the past, 15 years since 2012 up to 2024, potentially, it might have been a bunch of teenage pregnancies that basically saw us add a 900,000 new Namibians onto the census count. I won't be far off by assuming that position because I might be 50% correct in that position. That's the probability of correctness or legitimacy in that statement that I just made. I might be right. I might also be completely wrong. But what is a fact is, there was for every year a known fact of teenage pregnancies taking place. So now, we highlight a discussion also about, we know that we're going to have these young populations. We know it. We know that these young populations across Africa, they are deemed or highlighted as a security risk. I hope you guys know this. That in many cases, for a lot of you, you guys are classified as a security risk by your own political leaders. By your own political leaders, you're classified as a security risk to yourself because there's too many of you. And there's too few people who are 40 and above. It's literally the statement that David also made, basically about in Africa, we still have a antagonistic behavior towards each other. We still identify some sort of an element of antagonism between each other. We still regard each other in some sort of a element of animosity for whatever reason, but we can't put our finger on it, but we know the animosity is there. We know the antagonistic behavior is there. We know that a dimension of, I don't trust you because I know you don't trust me situation exists, persists, and it won't go away. The only thing I can leave you with in terms of this last particular sort of like dimension of this evening's or this Thursday's particular, the home run, is when it comes to governance, and specifically for you, the public sector guys, when it comes to governance, remember, you guys signed an employment contract. You guys, for every job that you occupy, you received a job description that is in line with the Public Service Act or Public Service Charter, whatever it is that you guys have to follow as the umbrella piece of legislation. I hope you guys read your job descriptions, and I hope you guys are improving on your ability to do your work. I hope you guys do this. I really hope it. I really hope it. Because one of the biggest concerns, for example, that if you go and ask the youth, the 35 and below, what do they think about the public service? A lot of them will say, but my mom or my dad works in the public service. And if you ask them, do you see your mom or your dad making any real change? The only thing that person will say is, well, all I know is that the person is where they work. I don't know what work they do, what they contribute to the community. That's all that person will answer. That's all that person will be able to contribute, and that's all that person will be able to cite in terms of a defense. But without much further ado, dear listeners, this does bring us up to the end for this evening's discussion here on the home run. We will be back, obviously, to the full contingent of the home run with David joining us a little bit later, as always, as we organize. And see you on tomorrow's session. Once again, same time, same place, here on your number one talk radio station. This has been the home run for this Thursday edition. Enjoy the rest of your programming in our company. And remember, dear listeners, tomorrow is the Villager e-paper, today is Villager e-paper eve, and tomorrow you can expect the Friday edition of it if you are a subscriber. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of your evening.